Me too.
This is what we should be doing now.
I know. And also, now that it's over, hello, we're lost. Okay. Okay.
It's true.
Happy Thursday. Yes.
Happy Thursday. Sorry. So what are we doing? Do we have a
call? We do, because Jane's on the line.
Hi, Jane.
So remember, I'm going to have to roll call. She will be when we prompt her.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm on the phone.
Okay. Hello, good morning. Happy Thursday, January 14th. It is 9 a.m. for the record. Today is the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau Board meeting. I'd like to call this to order, and I would like to reflect for the record that we have a remote call-in. Jane Beeman, our board member, is on the line remotely. And being present is Aaron, Joan, myself, and we are waiting for Taylor, but we're going to get this meeting started. We do have a quorum with Jane on the line, and hopefully Taylor will be here shortly. But we have a big agenda today. We're going to try to keep it short today so we can listen to our presentations and get some work done today. So being that said, I'll call the meeting to order, and I would open it up for public comment. Okay. Seeing no public comment, I'm going to go ahead and close public comment period and go over to approval of the minutes, hoping the board members have read the minutes and somebody can get me a...
I have read the minutes, and I do not see any changes that need to take place, but I don't want to speak for the whole board, but to get us on the table, I move that we approve the minutes from the... And I'm sorry. I have to go back and look at the date at the top of them. I can't go back and look at the date. Thank you. From the December 3rd meeting. I don't have my glasses on yet, but I read them last night. From the December 3rd meeting.
And I second that motion to approve the minutes for the December 3rd meeting.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. Seeing none, because Jane's on the line, I'm going to roll call. All in favor, Jane?
Aye.
Aaron?
Aye.
Joan?
Aye.
Michelle? Aye. Okay. Minutes are approved for the December 3rd meeting. Seeing that, we're going to move into the 2006 MBTB, so the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District and the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau stakeholders meeting and workshop that we will be having every year. We're required to do our workshop. So I'm going to go ahead and turn that over to Brent to give us some information on that.
Yes, good morning. After the last stakeholder meeting in 2015, it was actually suggested that we do a little bit of a modification with that format. And so this year we are looking at doing a lunch so that way we can incorporate and try to engage a lot more of the Morro Bay Lodging. Their availability is a lot more during the lunch period versus doing it in the morning time. Mm-hmm. So we are looking at having a save the date for Thursday, March 10th. But we're also looking at doing a public workshop. And so that's going to be something a little bit different, too. It will give an opportunity for stakeholders to be able to review the plan and what to be looking ahead. There's going to be a lot of changes for 2016 and 17, so we definitely want to incorporate a lot of the new changes and things that will be happening for the future. And so I'll be working collectively together with Sam and the city, and so we're going to have some exciting things planned for that. So the public workshop, we don't have a specific date scheduled for that, but I do want to connect with Sam Taylor to figure out a date and also a location for that. So save the date for Thursday, March 10th, lunchtime. We are looking at starting the at 12 to 12:30 will be kind of a networking, and then we'll be starting the meeting at 12:30. Public will be available to attend that meeting, but lunch will actually be provided for the lodging stakeholders, as well as city staff, and then also the bureau staff as well. So, any questions?
Very quickly, may I? So our annual stakeholder report, our annual report that's due to the city, that'll be presented in a written form, and then that'll just move on to the city. It'll be presented at that workshop.
The plan?
Annual report. No, the annual report of what we spent and where we spent it.
Correct.
Which is what we are what we have to provide by law.
Correct.
In a report form. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
And then in terms of the budget, the marketing plan for the 2016-2017 year, you're planning on presenting the budget, the marketing plan,
and the plan for changes at that meeting?
Yes,
the preliminary plan, so that way stakeholders will still have the opportunity to be able to provide feedback.
Okay.
So,
all right,
yes.
That's what I wanted to know.
And I would assume we'll be working with the city on that and getting everybody on the same page.
Correct.
Moving
Correct.
Forward.
Yeah, because yep. That's what I mean. The whole plan, you know, it has to incorporate all the changes that are going to occur, which is why I think that March 10th is kind of an aggressive date. I was looking at that thinking, oh boy, okay.
Well,
but
when you
can do it.
Right. When you do look at the timeline, there has to be an opportunity for stakeholders to be able to provide feedback. Because we still do have the May date as far as, like, there is still the opportunity to be able to adjust assessment dollars and you know, the lodging community, they do have that sunset clause. So officially there is that timeline that has to happen as far as, like, the approval of the plan. But we still want to provide the opportunity, again, for feedback, because we do want to have more engagement from the lodging community.
Perfect. Okay, any further questions for Brent on the stakeholders meeting and workshop? Jane, did you have any questions?
Yes, I did. Well, I didn't have any questions, but I do have a comment, and that is, since I just want some clarification. The stakeholders are the stakeholders in TBID, correct?
Yes.
They're not really the stakeholders in the Bureau, because the Bureau was given the money by TBID, and I know that the Bureau exists because of TBID, but with the Bureau being dissolved and everything going into TBID, we're talking about stakeholders being really in TBID, correct?
Yeah, so we will end up having a TBID meeting, and the Bureau has to do the annual of what we've already done. We're gonna have to say what we did this last year, and we're gonna have to report that.
Okay, so my feeling is that I think that even though we've planned March 10th, I think that we have to get the city totally involved in this meeting and workshop for the stakeholders of TBID, because they're going to be able to answer the questions that we can't, and they're going to have to really present the budget, because they're going to have to approve it, and they're going to have to approve the marketing plan, and they're going to have to... I honestly feel that they're the ones that are going to have to start stepping in, you know, and showing that partnership. We have to demonstrate the partnership. And
yes.
Physically that happens, you know, also. So I also agree with Joan that I think that the March 10th date is very aggressive, especially if we want to demonstrate this partnership and be on the same board, you know, be in the same wavelength to present what we're presenting. We have to have them total, the city and us have to become one voice. And to be one voice, then, you know, I don't know if they're up to speed or they agree with Sam's been as involved, and you know, Brent's the only one that can answer that, so that everything that we do at that workshop, they're basically going to just approve.
Jane, that is the plan. Sam and I are working on that. The council has received the preliminary plan at city council meeting on Tuesday night. You guys are getting the plan today. I'll be emailing that information to you. But, no, that is the plan as far as, like, the all of us to be sitting down and to be on the same page. So you do bring up some really great points. So as far as, like, having the March date, I think it's still, you know, it does sound aggressive, but we do have a preliminary plan done as far as, like, there's an opportunity to for city to do some feedback, but we still needed to work on the plan on getting that together. There's a preliminary budget within that, so we can actually work from that document. So it does sound aggressive, but it is realistic to be able to reach that. So Sam and I are going to be meeting next week, and we're going to start working on, you know, kind of the flow of the plan and kind of that whole transition period. So no need to stress out about it, any of the board members, because we'll get it all taken care of.
And I would, if you don't mind, it's Joan. Hi, Jane. I would leave that date to staff anyhow, because to be honest with you, by law, we have to provide a written report of where we spent the money to the city. It does not have to be a verbal report. And that is not why we've ever held the stakeholder meeting. Why we've held the stakeholder meeting is to present the marketing plan and the budget for the future year, and to have all the stakeholders understand where they can partner and what the gain is. And so the purpose of the stakeholder meeting is really to look at the future. The purpose of the annual report is really accountability on the past spending. So they have two separate but conjoined in many ways functions. So if staff can't make that March 10th date and they need it to be April 1st, then they can make the stakeholder presentation of the marketing plan and budget April 1st and provide a written report to the city. And staff is, I believe, working on that anyhow. So I think we'll make that date, Jane, but I do feel like it's aggressive. I agree with you.
Okay, we need to move on. Any further questions? I think we're all on the same page. I think we're going to get there. You know, I think we forget that the Bureau is the same people as the TBID. So we forget that. Today we're at a Bureau meeting. Whatever we do today will be recommendations to the TBID. So I don't think we're going to change our minds from a Bureau meeting to a TBID meeting. At least we never have in the past, and I don't see us doing that in the future. So again, there are recommendations we're going to make to the TBID board, and basically the TBID will be taking over. So, and council, of course. Right. We'll be making recommendations to TBID board make recommendations to council, and then council makes final decisions. So that's the process. I know it's a little convoluted, but I think it'll all be fine. I know it's just a little confusing. Okay, so moving on, we are now to the marketing plan draft, which is what we were just talking about for the stakeholder meeting. So I'm going to turn that over to Brent again.
Exactly. Very excited. Have a draft plan that's actually in front of you. It also includes a timeline as far as feedback, not only for this advisory body, but also for city and city council. I did want to initially put a plan, a marketing and sales plan draft together. So please take a look at the timeline, as well as reading the wonderful, ingenious 30 pages of information that's in there. If you do have questions specific to that, this is actually more of the bigger picture. It's also taking into consideration key trends. It does include a preliminary budget, and so again, if you guys do have questions, you can definitely funnel those to myself, but I do have Michelle, since she is the chair, to funnel any feedback, etc., to her or myself.
Okay, so thank you, Brent, too, for a timeline. I know when we had seen this, I think what's really great for me, you know, I'm kind of a process gal, and so this gives a timeline, I think, that will help. And obviously, this is a draft. We all get to have input. This draft was presented to City Council the other night. City Council will have feedback. I'm sure they will put that as a future agenda item on their board. They have to, yeah. And Mr. Pannoni even brought that up at that night. I watched. Believe it or not, I was up till 12:45 watching the meeting as well. I just couldn't be here in person. But so, you know, the City Council will have their input. We'll be working with Sam and Brent. You know, we all want this to be positive and a smooth transition, but this is a big document for us to all look through, but everybody please look through it all. As chair for the TBID, you can funnel it to me, and then for the Bureau, you can always funnel it through to Brent. So both of us will be contacts for any questions or feedback that you guys might have. But I personally really love the timeline. It helps me understand the process. And understand what we're doing, and obviously we'll be working closely with the city. We don't want to be going left and they going right. This is all us moving in the same forward direction. So,
And one thing, too, is that this document will be available online. I will be sending that to city, so you guys will be able to put that on the city website. It'll be on the morrobay.org website, and it will also be emailed out to all of the lodging constituents.
Okay, so I'm going to go around the table, ask anybody if they have any questions. Joan, do you have any immediate questions? Obviously, it's a big piece of document we're not going to read through now.
Yeah, I'm not going to read through it now. I'm wondering if you can tell me, just in a basic term, what your approach was. What, you know, from what angle did you're like, well, that is a broad question. Broadly, can you please tell me what your approach was to putting together this document? And I want to say something before we start.
Sure.
We have excellent professional staff. I couldn't be more proud of our staff. And the timeline, we've never had really professional staff that's put together timelines for us, that has moved us through the process as well as our current staff has. So there is so much appreciation, not only by this board, but by the community as a whole. Holistically, this community completely supports this staff, and I do want to say that and want you to know that.
So I can actually sum it up into three words: past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that kind of tongue in cheek. But looking at the key travel trends for 2016 and beyond, really matched up to what the profile of Morro Bay. You know, when you look at the whole situation, and when you're looking at the trends of authenticity, the localism, having that full-fledged experience, it's what we've been doing. It's what Morro Bay is about. So that was really the inspiration for this document. But looking at your past, you always have to look at, you know, what data that you already have. You look at the present, and you look at the data that's actually in front of you, and then you look at the future as far as, like, key travel trends. So past, present, and future was really the total inspiration for this plan.
And I see in here you have Visit San Luis Obispo County, and you have events. I mean, just briefly looking through this, you've got the California Economic Overview. You have really used a holistic approach to putting this document together. Terrific job, and I look forward to really reading it and getting into the details of it. Thank you.
Aaron, any comment, question?
30 pages, tons of detail. China coming to California, China ready, and so forth. Brent, I'm looking forward to reading this, and I'm looking forward to actually the GMs of our properties reading this as well. This is amazing, and I'll probably be done with it by tonight, actually. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your efforts.
Jane, do you have any comments, questions, feedback? Oh, you don't have it yet, so sorry. We'll get
it. I don't have it. Love to see it.
Jane, to save you some paper, too, I will make a printed copy, but I'll go ahead and email you a copy after the meeting.
Yeah, just email it. You don't need to give me a paper copy.
Okay, sounds good.
And I'll just back in with what Joan's saying. I mean, it's really nice to have this. You know, I remember the days where we were up until midnight, 1 o'clock, trying to work with the ad agencies on doing stuff like this. So it's nice to have staff. And kudos to staff. I know you guys have been through a lot the last couple of months. So good job for still staying focused on what our job is and working hard every day when everything else has been slinging around. So thank you, Brent, and everybody else. I know he's like, come on, get moving. Okay, so we will go ahead and finish the marketing plan draft. I know, he's like, I don't want to be thanked. I want us to work. Okay, so I'm going to move on to City of Morro Bay update, and I'll turn that over to Sam.
And I'll be super quick because we're on a timeline here. Obviously, we've noted the transition, and I'm really excited to work with Brent. We're going to sit down next week to begin that process and also be meeting with the chairperson to chat as well so we can go over some detail. The other two kind of major things, we began the process and finalized our contract in December, but I don't think I've been able to mention here, but we were able to select a city consultant for the economic development strategic planning process. And I'm very thankful to Brent and Joan for being a part of the RFP interview process and all that. And I think we're very excited to move forward with Chabin Concepts. That's Audrey Taylor is the owner of that company. And by June or July, we'll have a plan in place. And so one of the big focuses for them especially is stakeholder input. And from the business community, and I'm really hoping that we can make sure we have a good stakeholder input from the hotelier community as well, as tourism is our largest part of our economic engine. The second thing is, yesterday we met for the first time with AEG and ASO, who are the companies that manage the Amgen Tour of California bicycle race. We met in the multipurpose room at the community center. They brought 11 people. Their whole team came yesterday. It was pretty impressive to see them. Folks from ASO, who are the group that manages and runs and owns the Tour de France, were here. So we had Vincent and Nicolas and Thibaut there yesterday, and they're awesome guys. They love it here because they're surfing. And it was a very efficient meeting. It was supposed to last 1:30, 3:30. I think we were out there by 2 something, early 2 o'clock hour. Yeah, we went through the race route, through the technical stuff. We had members of law enforcement from both the city, the sheriff's office, the state parks, as well as the men's colony, because we will have an important security presence there. And we're excited and appreciative of our law enforcement partners being there, as well as the city team, including Brent. Council member Johnson is helping to set up the start ceremony. We'll be doing a ceremony of dignitaries, along with someone who is a cancer survivor who will help start the race. So we're really excited for that. They have a very big focus on cancer research as one of their main sponsors. So that was our first initial meeting. We'll have a lot of deadlines here coming up. And then we have another meeting toward the end of February, I believe February 24th. To really start getting down and dirty on finalizing certain aspects. In early February, we'll start putting out the RFP, and this is a really important one for catering. The city is responsible for that process, and so we will put out an RFP indicating the requirements from AEG on what they would like to eat. And that food involves food for the media, food for the AEG staff, the people putting on the production, as well as the hospitality tent. There's a tent that's going up that can house as many as 250 people. That tent will also include the writer's lounge, which is a portion of the tent that has all the writers in it. Initially, we were actually offered our own tent, but we also have been offered tickets into the main hospitality tent. And rather than competing with the tent that actually has riders in it that morning, we probably will just take the tickets and use that for our package for sponsorship. So we will now be working to sell sponsorships for that to help make up some of the funding that the TBID has provided, obviously. Visit Slo County also will receive their own ability to sell packages to help make up some of the $30,000 they're putting in on behalf of the city of Morro Bay. So great meeting, really exciting. It was great to see their whole team here and for the folks in Morro Bay to see that team as well. It's a big production, but I think they made us all comfortable with how efficient it is and how simple it really will be. So that's my update.
Yeah, they have it down. It was truthfully any questions that were actually out there as far as like the logistics, as far as the meeting. They do have it down. I mean, very, very confident that it's going to be a successful event for Morro Bay.
Okay, I'll turn it over in case anybody has any questions for Sam. Joan?
Two quick questions. Did we hire an event coordinator to coordinate all this?
No.
Okay. And then I'm curious, is that you? Are you the coordinator?
Yes, I'm the lead coordinator for the city of Morro Bay.
We need to get you a new hat. And then it can be a ball cap. It doesn't have to be like, you know. And then who's going to be securing the sponsorships?
That is a question we do not have answered yet. So we got to work through that. We got to determine if we'll be doing it internally or, as you and I have spoke about, if we should hire someone on a commission basis maybe to sell those. But we're working on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I have some ideas for you.
Thank you.
Later.
Aaron? Any questions?
Not at this point. Thanks, Sam.
Jane?
Yes, I have one question, and this is back to the City of Morro Bay update. Regarding the transition, Sam, will you be representing he did at those general plan meetings for that committee that was appointed by the city?
I think she's talking about, there was an email I know that we all received about the general plan, that there's a committee of people together that are working on the general plan.
Yeah, there's a general plan advisory committee, general plan, local coastal plan advisory committee, who are working on the 20-year plan for the city. And that's regarding more generally related to how the city grows over time and all that. So I'm not sure if I'll be necessarily participating in all of those, but there is a lot of economic development related to general plan, and I will be involved in that regard. More focus, what I'm working on is the economic development strategic plan, which actually probably could be a part of the general plan in the end. It'll be an element of it potentially, and that's where we'll be working on, including hotelier stakeholders and other business community members, stakeholders in that process.
Okay, the reason why, to me, economic development and general plan are one and the same, because we have to have an economic vehicle to accomplish the goals in a general plan. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is I was a little disturbed about that email, because the content inferred that they're kind of up in the air about tourism, because part of the city's into it and part of the city isn't. And I was a little disturbed about that. And so I was really hoping that you would take or somebody that represents the interest of tourism is involved in that subcommittee, because at this present time, nobody is.
So that subcommittee is a subcommittee of volunteers from the community. So I couldn't be on that committee. The staff liaison to that committee is the community development director. But as I said, we're working on the economic development strategic plan, and that will play a role in the general plan process. So there is commonly an economic development element. That's a big mouthful. Economic development element of the general plan, and it is likely we will utilize the strategic plan we're working on that will be adopted by June or July as that element. So we are fully in that regard we are fully involved in the process.
Anything else, Jane?
No. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll find the email and I'll forward it out. I do remember, and I know exactly what Jane's talking about. Because her and I think we were concerned with just the volunteer group. There wasn't a representation really from the hoteliers on that. So I think that's her point in that. Yeah. That's, I'm assuming. I mean, I think that's what her concern was.
And the GPAC is not assembled from stakeholder groups. It's just like the RPC and the Harbor Advisory Board. Folks apply for that and are placed on it. So it's not one where we have the ability to kind of recruit, you know, Avengers Assemble. We can't really do that for this. It's just like any of our other advisory boards. So it's not made of stakeholder groups in that regard, just to be clear.
And I think at the end of the day, the bottom line is it's still going to go through the city. It's still going to go through
100%.
Right.
And
they're not making decisions.
You absolutely
as a volunteer
have a voice,
group.
And I think the more important plan for economic development is 200% the economic development strategic plan, which I've ensured that the hotelier stakeholder community and tourism has been involved from day one of my planning on that. And that will continue. Absolutely.
FYI, Jane, Susan Stewart, who was on the Community Promotions Committee and a president of the Chamber of Commerce, and actually congratulations, Susan, for being the Citizen of the Year this year, selected by the Chamber of Commerce, Citizen of the Year, or one of the co-Citizens of the Year. Anyhow, you could reach out to her. She is on that board, and she could probably represent any position that you may have to that board.
Okay, so moving forward, so we can be on time, because we want to be timely. I don't have any comments on city update, so I'll move us forward into marketing the PR company presentations.
All right, as Verdin gets up and they get their presentation up and running, I do want to give you a little bit of a background. I provided a document to all of the board, as well as Sam with the city. But for those of you who out in the audience who did not receive We had 13 different companies that responded to the RFP. The board had, I basically narrowed it down to the top five. The board here actually narrowed it down to the top three, wanting to see a marketing and PR firm being under one umbrella versus working with two different agencies to bring efficiencies. The marketing firms that had marketing and PR firms that had the opportunity, they are presenting today a campaign success story from their past. They do have a creative scenario, which essentially is a rebrand of the Sustainable Seafood Festival. It is a fictitious festival here in Morro Bay. And so we gave them those a task to do. They do have 30 minutes to be able to present. And there will be an opportunity for question and answer about 15 minutes for a Q&A. So we do need to keep this on time because we do have three agencies that you guys are going to be seeing today. But without further ado, Verdin Marketing.
All right. Thank you. And good morning. So over the past month, we've been working hard on a presentation to bring to you today based on the RFP that Brent had sent out. But then yesterday we heard about some of the changes that have been happening this week, and realizing that you're probably in the process of absorbing some of those changes and charting a path forward, we changed our presentation a little bit. First of all, we brought coffee and donuts, and the reason is because when we have a crazy week, it always makes us feel good to have coffee and donuts. So I'm hoping you will have an opportunity to take a break and grab some sugar and some caffeine. We are your marketing partner. And as a good partner, we think it's important to come to you where you are today. So really, all of this today, this is about you. It's not about us. So if we were thinking, if we were on your side of the table, probably we wouldn't want to be listening to a whole bunch of presentations talking about the future when we're not exactly sure what the future holds and what that path is going to be. So as much as we want to talk about how we feel strongly that we are the right marketing partner for you moving forward, we feel like we need to focus on right now. So we're actually going to zip through this presentation and not go into all the detail that we'd planned. Certainly, well, we can give you a PDF. We can send that to Brent, and he can send it out to all of you. It has much more information. And any questions you have, we're happy to answer today and go into as much detail as you want. But we want to change it from a presentation to more of a conversation with all of you. And I know that this is somewhat of a risk to do this, but we feel like it's the right thing to do, so that's what we're going to move forward with. The one thing we were really excited about, though, was the creative scenario that was in that RFP. So we are going to go into a little more detail with that because we thought, you know what, let's keep the fun part of the presentation in here because that's the part that I think is going to float your boat, so to speak, being in Morro Bay. So this was the agenda we were going to go through, but we're just going to pass through that because we're changing it up. I did want to do some introductions because I know there are a couple of newer people to the TBID that we have not been able to meet. So I'm Mary Verdin. I'm the President and Chief Strategy Officer. So my role with the company is to be involved with every client on a strategic level. With me is Ashley Akers. Ashley's been very involved with Morro Bay for the last 18 months. I'm sure most of you recognize her. She also oversees our account staff. Lisa Kim Polney is our media and research strategist. So she does all of our media planning and buying, and she's the one that makes sure that every recommendation we give is backed up by research and data. And Stephanie Goodwin is our PR and marketing specialist, and Stephanie has been the frontline point of contact for Morro Bay for the last 18 months and will continue to be so, and also has a really strong background in lifestyle PR and destination marketing. So the four of us represent a team of 16 people back at the office. We are a full-service marketing firm. I'm not going to go on and on about all of us because we do have a relationship and we've been working together already. A snapshot of some of our clients. We can talk, if you have questions about that, we can go into that more. We were going to do a success story, which was outlined in the RFP, but again, we feel like we want to focus on the conversation piece of this at the end of the presentation. So if you have questions about it, it does highlight some of our PR experience. We're happy to go into detail on that.
We had a little change in some technical issues over there, so I'm going to be playing back and forth here, but I'm sure you weren't expecting this type of presentation, which we're really excited about. We love good conversation. So I'm just going to briefly talk a little bit about the relationship we have with Morro Bay. So right now, as a lot of you know, we were hired in July of 2014, And we were really hired to bring a fresh perspective to the creative. Brent, we had a meeting and we talked about what are we going to do that's different. And we really, truly believe in selling the experience. We're all about the experience. We know it's not specifically to a set hotel. It's about what are people going to do when they get here and how does that relate. So we came in with some really a creative different voice to what we were showing as far as the images. This is a snapshot of some of those ads. And you can see the copy, there's consistency in it, but it's really fun and exciting and engaging. We had some really great success. We're really proud of being part of this team. We know it takes a team to do this. Any destination, it's going to be multiple people involved. And so we were just thrilled that we could be part of it and see that big, fat increase in TOT, which we love. And so this is just, again, a little snapshot of the last 18 months and what we saw as far as traffic, impressions, Facebook fans, and, again, our ultimate metric there at the bottom. We were really excited to get the call for Amgen. And I know it was something that was really quick, and we had to just kind of get in there and get involved really fast. And we got the opportunity to work with Sam and Brent and the county DMD, as well as Amgen, putting together materials, putting together press releases, kicking off the event with the announcement. So we were excited to kind of show you a little of our PR expertise there. We're looking forward to the event and helping out any way we can. Before we jump in the creative scenario, I think that you know, we talk a lot about our passion, and we've got a huge passion for tourism. We love tourism. We love Morro Bay. We love getting to get our hands in here, getting to get to come to take pictures and videos. And so I think that you're going to get a feeling for that. I personally love tourism. I get to serve on the marketing committee for the TMD with Brent. I'm involved in on the CCTC. I'm also going to statewide and regional events and conferences. So I think that as a whole, we really are just so driven by this tourism industry, and we want to continue it. We see the momentum with working with Morro Bay. I'll leave it up to Stephanie to talk about the creative scenario.
All right. So I will talk about the creative scenario, and I agree with Ashley, and Brent and I were just talking about this on the phone the other day, that we see so much, we share in the passion of the potential of Morro Bay and are always excited to work with such a great, it's just a great product. It's great to find something you feel passionate about, and it really shows through with the team and our creative. So with the creative scenario, we were really excited, and I was just talking to Brent before the meeting, too, about this creative scenario, and the Sustainable Seafood Festival is such an awesome idea, and how can we make it really come to life, because we were telling our team about it, and we were just like, oh, we all want to go. It sounds amazing. So during the exercise, you provided us with some objectives and goals, and we've outlined these here. And again, I won't go too much into the goals and metrics. So the metrics are, you know, the terms of measurement of our success. And so we've taken these goals and metrics and created a whole marketing plan behind those. But we really know that with coming to Morro Bay and any destination, it's really about the experience. We're really selling an experience here. So I'm going to set the stage, turn off the presentation. You can open up your bags now. We're really going to set the stage here. We're in Morro Bay, obviously. The fog has lifted and the sun is shining like today, and you can feel the ocean breeze on your face. And maybe we don't want to sip in the alcohol right now, but if we were at the festival, we would.
Right, it is after 9 a.m., so it's possible.
You can hear the seagulls and the sea lions barking. And if we're at the festival, you put on your crab bib. And, you know, in one corner of the festival, maybe you can learn about the history of Morro Bay and just where it's come from and its seafaring and fishing roots. And then, I love it. And in another corner of the festival, you can actually talk to the fishermen. Those media contacts can come over and really, you can understand what sustainable fishing means and why it's so important and really get to the nitty-gritty of how and why it works. And then the rest of the festival, you can keep your crab bib on and you can taste the delicious seafood, eat the saltwater taffy, and drink the wine and have a great time. So here are some of the people that you would see there.
Now that you've experienced all the goodies and all the pleasures that will happen in Morro Bay, let's talk a minute about who's going to come. One of the greatest joys for me and one of my biggest passions is understanding what motivates groups of people and how to reach them with messaging. Attaching those two things is really fun for me. So there's basically three groups that would be over here in Morro Bay in a heartbeat if we actually did this event. The first are the millennials. It's the biggest group of people. It's the people that are most excited about this kind of travel. The middle picture represents sort of the Gen Xers. The millennials are about 20 to 35, depending on which reference you use for those ages. And then the young and sort of hip boomers. Now, within these age groups, we would have two breakdowns of target interests, which is very important. One group is very environmentally conscious travelers. They care about the community. They're very involved. We were talking earlier with Brent about how people want to be educated and know what a community is doing and what's happening. They're very interested in sustainability practices, and they're very interested in food and organic food and all those kinds of things. The second and most important group are the foodies. Really, the millennials are the ones that have coined this term, the foodies. They are the people that use food for all their entertainment, their hobbies, and their travel. The foodies are so important, particularly in the millennial group, that there's this new term called the culinary paparazzi. Millennials never eat alone. They always eat socially with social media going. 50% of all millennials say they take pictures of all of their food and they don't even put people in the pictures. So they're so interested in sharing their food pictures. It's a really important group. So these are the two areas. One also group here, two of our ladies are represented in the group called YEMMYs. The new acronym for YEMMYs are the Young Educated Millennial Mommies. So they're very interested in this as well. And these would be our target personas and audiences for our sustainable seafood voyage.
So we talked a little bit about goals and metrics, and Lisa spoke about who we would be reaching, and this is how we would reach them with the creative execution. So one thing that we actually did was rename the Sustainable Seafood Festival, because I constantly say Sustainable Seafood Festival, it's hard to say. And we renamed it the Seafood Voyage, which sounds really fun, and it's kind of a throwback to Morro Bay's roots. Voyage is fun and exciting, so an adventure really resonates with millennials and a lot of people. It's a really fun, authentic experience that you're going to go to with the Seafood Voyage. And here is our creative execution. Here is the logo we've created. So this logo is fun, it's aesthetically appealing, it's clever, it's really pleasing. It's straightforward, you understand, you see the fish. If you notice, you'll see the rock on the fish with little scales that are represented by the waves. And it's hard to see up here, but it says Morro Bay Sustainable Seafood Festival, so it outlines exactly what the seafood voyage is. Also, what we really like about this is that it complements the Morro Bay brand. It's the Morro Bay colors, so the message that we're sending out is really cohesive within the Morro Bay. And here's how we'd execute some of this creative. So this is an Instagram ad. As you can see, you're probably all on Instagram and know what that is. Next is a mock-up of our Facebook page for the Seafood Voyage. That looks delicious. And here is something called a cinemagraph. And it's a static picture, except there's one element of the photo moving. So it's kind of a trick of the eye, and it's really eye-catching. And this is a huge trend among social channel outlets and advertising. And we actually have done two of these for Morro Bay already, and they've had really great response. And I think, to the best of our knowledge, we're the first people in the area and the first destination here to use them. And so the next is a video execution. So help Ashley play that.
Embark on the Morro Bay Seafood Voyage. Boarding now at morrobay.org.
So some of our team actually came out and took real footage of Morro Bay, and it's spliced in with festival footage too. So you get a really good, clear sense of what it is and what you would experience if you go there. And so we've also identified five marketing vehicles to get that creative message out. And you're probably really familiar with these too, because we use them in our general marketing for Morro Bay. But I will go into a little more detail about those that we don't use. And the first is public relations, which is my expertise. And what we would use, a straightforward kind of multi-pronged plan.
which would support the goals, and the goals are to increase attendees and get people to stay overnight during that weekend. And how we would support that would be through press release distribution outreach, relationship building, media experiences, and leveraging partnerships. And I want to go into the media experience because I thought, how cool would it be to host a kickoff seafood dinner? And we would invite business owners, local fishermen, and chefs to come and talk to a select member of VIP media that we've already vetted out. We would invite them with a really cool press packet with that would actually look something like the bags that we will actually be handing out to you later with a little snapshot and taste of Morro Bay before they come. And so in the seafood kickoff dinner, it would be educational, and we would have, you know, chefs talk about why fresh seafood is important, the sustainable fishermen industry, and why that's really an important piece. And we'd also want to leverage our partnerships with Visit Slo County. We're really involved with them, and also with other destinations that we represent here on the Central Coast to really utilize and get that statewide visibility. And I next want to talk about social media. I don't know if you know this, but we're really passionate about social media at Verdin, and really are at the cutting edge trend of social media and really love playing with it and being playful. And this passion always spills over to our clients. So what we do for the Seafood Voyage is utilize our standard channels like Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and something new called Periscope. And I'm not sure if anyone has heard of Periscope. Have they? You have? Sam has. And so Periscope is a really cool channel for event marketing, and it's great because it's a first-person perspective of an event or an experience, and all you need is a smartphone. And it's a live streaming interactive channel. And instead of me talking about it, let me show you how it works. We're live at the Sustainable Seafood Festival looking for reasons why people love coming to Morro Bay. Why do you guys come to Morro Bay?
Well, we come here every summer with the kids.
We love to play on the beach.
And eat ice cream.
Hey, why do you come to Morro Bay?
I come to Morro Bay for the waves. The surf is always up here. I just drove down from San Jose for the weekend. Man, this town is always so fun and laid back. Plus the fresh seafood. Man, you can't beat it.
And why do you come to Morro Bay?
I come to Morro Bay with my friends. Seafood in Morro Bay is always fresh and delicious, and sustainability and ethical food practices are important to us. I love that you can see it pulled right off the boats. We had to check it out.
So we hope to see you down here today at the Seafood Voyage. All the attendees are going home with this really cool reusable bag that you can reuse for grocery shopping, and everybody gets to take one of these home. Super fun logo. It's really beautiful. All right, back to you, Verdin.
Thank you, Stephanie. So in keeping with trying to be concise, you know, I think several of you have met me before. I could go on and on about advertising all day long because I care about it so much. But we're just going to talk about a few highlights. One of the biggest challenges we always have is this represents the traditional horseshoe that we're always discussing. And these are the marketing areas of all of the destinations in the coastal California area. So one of the challenges is how do we break through that clutter? One of the ways we've solved that problem, we have a lot of experience over the last 18 months of really pulling out platforms that have worked particularly well. And basically we hyper-target as much as we can so that we don't waste money talking to people that aren't the right consumer to visit Morro Bay. If we did the Sustainable Seafood Voyage, we would be thoughtful in using the media budget. We probably would not target San Francisco with paid advertising because it's likely they could find a similar experience in their backyard. But the white dots represent all the areas we would target and the consumers that we would find out about their interests, their ages, their behaviors, their incomes, and their education. Now, you've seen a lot of packages and promotions for our regular digital and traditional marketing. We would use all the elements we're already using for Morro Bay, so I'm not going to take the time right now to break those down. We do have a tremendous arsenal of platforms that we've used in the past for Morro Bay, and we have a very good handle on what works really well. The final thing we want to talk about is this idea we had for email marketing, which we're very excited about. Verdon would partner with Morro Bay to create a seafood voyage bus tour, and our idea is to create a mini promotion just at Central Valley where we would encourage Gen Xers and young boomers who love food, they love wine, they love beer, they love travel, but they don't want that hassle of driving themselves to the destination. So we'd create a really fun campaign where they could take their family and friends on a bus tour. We do a direct email marketing campaign into these areas, and we would target on, based on online behaviors, their interests, their age, their education, and their income. And even if we don't have an opportunity to use this for the seafood voyage, we'd love to see this sort of tour and group be utilized in the future. And then finally, this is the review of what we've already discussed. This is the breakdown of the budget, creative development, public relations, social media, advertising, and project management and reporting. And with that, I'm going to turn it back to Mary.
So that concludes our abbreviated presentation, which I think we got through in 19 minutes, so that's pretty good. But we did, as I said, we wanted this to be somewhat of a conversation, and we have some things we'd like to ask all of you, but would like to start, of course, with any questions that you have for us on the presentation or the idea.
Okay, Jane, I'm going to turn it to you first because we all moved seats, so that'll give us a chance. So, Jane, do you have any questions for Verdon?
I get everything live feed, but at a delay, just to let you know. So I can see some things right away and some things not. But just off the bat, by the way, I want to thank you for answering my email regarding what other towns that you also are working with for marketing, and that was Cayucas and Atascadero. And I did take the time to go on their websites, and I do see that you're using that same blue theme in Cayucas. In fact, the images looked really, cohesive with the images you're using for Morro Bay. I think that that the fish thing's really clever. I'm not thrilled with just the image going swimming up rather than fish going sideways, which would also give you some more room. I don't know. For me, it's just a disturbing image. I don't know. But I have a question, and that is, if you're using the blue theme, to represent us, why did we use a dark red image on the billboard?
I don't know if
it
Ashley...
It just doesn't seem cohesive with that brand. That was a comment, but, I don't have really any... I don't need any answers. Those are just comments. So thank you so much for your presentation.
Okay. Do you want us to...
No, that's okay. I know we're on a time thing now. So what I would do is maybe make a note of that, and then you can send an email out.
Perfect. And just for clarification, Jane is referring to the Morro Bay billboard that's
on Highway 1. Exactly. That's on Highway 1, yes. And for the time of essence, we'll just kind of, because we've got a lot to move through today. And
sure.
Jane is our artist on the board, so she always has that artist eye, which is always appreciated. So, Aaron, any comments, questions?
Could you explain the choice in the products here you bought for the little presentation out of the bags then? There must have been some sort of thought that went into each of these things.
Oh, the items that were in the bags?
Exactly.
That
the culinary items. I get the tie-in with sustainable food and that, but was there greater decisions into any of these products that we should consider?
It was really based on if somebody was going, we wanted to create this scenario, and we wanted to put you there.
Okay.
And do a little theater of the mind. So the idea of that you're there, we wanted something, we have the air freshener that has a seaside smell, and if you were there, you would be having seafood with maybe some hot sauce. Oysters with hot sauce is awesome. You have some wine, maybe some craft beer. The sea salt is in there. So it was just items that you might use while you were at the festival, just to kind of try to put your brains there while we talked about it.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Would there be any kind of a cross-branding opportunities then with local breweries, Libertine Pub down here, for example, local wineries, local purveyors of food products?
Yeah, absolutely. I know that one of the things that Morro Bay is talking about as a city is potentially a restaurant BID. And there could be a lot of collaborative opportunities with that to bring in products, and certainly any local products are always the first products we want.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments?
Joan?
So I love the research side of things. I like to absorb data and understand where folks are coming from. But almost, almost more importantly is to understand why folks are staying where they're at and not coming. And I'm wondering how, what your approach is to fill that gap. I understand that, when the folks get here for the sustainable seafood festival that you put together, right, that you'll have an opportunity to ask them, where did you come from, why did you choose Morro Bay, and such. But how in the marketing gap would you try and figure out why people are not coming here, and how we can close that gap and get the folks here? Because, for example, I can tell you just anecdotally that January is slow for, I've talked to almost all the hoteliers in the last 2 or 3 weeks, and it's been pretty slow, and that's, we've been predicting that this would be coming for years. As soon as the El Nino hit, Californians would go skiing. So folks are choosing to ski rather than go to the beach. I mean, we don't have an 80-degree January, right? But we've got great snow. And so how are you going to fill that information gap?
It's a really good question, and one that always comes up with marketing. People always want to know, we can measure what we can measure. We can measure people coming here. We can look at TOT. But the people who don't come here, how do we find out why? How do we measure that? And I know early on in our relationship, we had talked with the Bureau about, is there some opportunity to do some actual surveying, some research? And I mean, really, the best way to get that information is go to those markets and talk to people and find out, you know, what's the awareness level? Have they come here? How often do they come here? I know there are a lot of people, you know, Ashley talks about growing up, and every summer they were in Morro Bay for a week with their grandparents. And some people have those habits. What about the people that don't? What are they doing instead? And then also the follow-up potential. If somebody comes here, are they going to come back? Why or why not? Now, with that group, the great thing is that we could put something into place. We probably work with the hotels to do that, where there was some kind of a follow-up. You know, a lot of times hotels will do that. You stay in a hotel, and the next day I get home and I have the survey. How was your stay? Tell us all about it. That maybe there could be an element added to that that includes some information about Morro Bay and tries to get, you know, them, if they haven't subscribed to the e-blast, to start engaging with that and try to build that relationship. So I think there's some, the people who come here, there's some ways to find out to what level is that relationship now, and how can we build that. But for the people who saw the ads, clicked, and maybe started doing some planning and ended up not coming here, I really think that in-market research is really, it's the most solid way to go. And I don't have, if Lisa wants to add, because she's our research person.
Because you know I love this stuff. One of the things, obviously, it's a little bit tricky. You're so much taller than me. It's a little bit tricky to target the absence of a behavior. Sure. So what we do in lieu of that, there's a lot of behind the scenes, particularly on my part, very specific tracking of engagement. So within our general creative, and then it's filtered down to certain little campaigns or certain months or certain quarters, what we will do is every time there's an engagement, every time there's a click, we will note that. And so what we eventually see over 18 months is we get really clear ideas about the behaviors. The best way to get people to come here is to really understand their personality and their behaviors and what engages them. Digital advertising is one of the best places to do that, because lots of times we're making very subtle changes on a weekly basis. Oh, if we say, if the headline is, let's come at a lower price point, that's great. If we say, bring your family. So we have this big Excel sheet, basically, of all these individual characteristics. And when we see upticks, we note that and say, okay, this group of people that we drove to the website that wanted more information are very interested in A, B, and C. We have to make sure we keep that creative content and that compelling call to action within the marketing of the next campaign. And so we've built on that over 18 months to have a lot of clarity. Now, El Nino is a little new for us. We're all coming up with A plans and B plans and C plans to continue to motivate people. Who are the people that will still be coming here? What are they excited about? How do we continue to get that message out to create the enthusiasm and the excitement for Morro Bay?
Okay.
Just wanted to add, too, because I know the TMD is also working on a survey plan to try to generate some information, just what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. So we have an opportunity of supplying them with questions specific to Morro Bay, and I think that that's going to be a really great opportunity to speak to those people and get an understanding of why they're not coming or what would it take to get them here.
Because the question, a simple question when we have, and this, you don't have to answer this, but in reference to and this is, of course, the imaginary sustainable seafood festival. Thanks for choosing that tongue twister.
I know.
Yeah, you guys got through it. You got through it very well, by the way. the imaginary sustainable seafood festival, in terms of why a person would choose, and since you don't represent Pismo, I'll say this, why a person would choose the clam festival in Pismo over the Sustainable Seafood Festival. That information would be vital to driving people into this market. Mm-hmm. Why are they choosing a friendly competitor? All the county people are friendly competitors. Mm-hmm. Why would they choose a friendly competitor over, you know, our fabulous, perfect destination? And so, you know, that's, I'm just, you don't have to answer it, I understand. That's more difficult to come by, that information, but...
Mm-hmm. And I think what we would definitely look at that and have that opportunity to talk to the people that would be coming to the event and see, you know, what makes them different. What is the different look of that persona versus the people that go to the Clam Festival? I think if we were to split it, it probably would look a little different too.
The county has a lot of competing events that are very similar to each other that tend to land in very close proximity to each other.
Yeah.
One car festival after another car festival. One seafood festival after another seafood festival after another food festival.
Mm-hmm.
So,
let me say super quickly that one of the things that we're very, am I still on here? One of the things that we're very proud of, and Brent has been extremely great to work with in this regard, is that we are using platforms that are reaching your target audience more effectively. Millennials in particular, we've made tremendous strides in not using traditional media. So we stand out of the crowd. There's a lot of millennials maybe in the Central Valley that don't know about some of the other competitors' events because we are using technology that is more perfectly targeted. Pandora is a perfect example. We are really progressive in using the right vehicle to reach them. And creating a buzz around it. Events all about the buzz, and I think that is unique to the Verdon and Morro Bay relationship.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for coming out today.
Yeah. Can I just ask a couple of make just some other notes, just quick?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the questions I had to ask was the idea about a bus tour. I just was curious about something like that, putting it out to the valley. I would be more interested to find out if that was a day tour or promote overnight stays, and also where the legal liability would lie with something like that. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was a compelling call to action that you guys talked about. I mean, to me, I'm way into marketing, and I'm like, hey, you know, like you say, how do you get people interested in coming to the beach? Well, I mean, I was just thinking about that and what happened to see our slopes and show our surfers in wetsuits. Those are our slopes. I mean, that will get their attention and then keep people interested in reading more about our other stuff. I'd like to see something exciting, and that's just my thoughts, and I'm not going to say any more.
You talk about the bus tour, and I will talk about the...
Perfect. The bus tour, again, these are all concepts of how we would develop this once it became a real thing. The bus tour would definitely, the whole point of this is TOT. The bus tour is a 3-day tour. You have at least, it could be longer. There are a variety of tour opportunities and buses you can partner with. Usually an event manager would do a little bit of footwork to find out where the specific location would be and how to organize it so that it's successful. We also built in some mini promotions where, for example, an idea would be if you came on the bus tour, we would market with some of your economic development partners, and maybe you get a free meal at one of the restaurants, you get some discounts on shopping. There's other alternative things to do when you're not actually eating seafood at the festival. So we've come at this with a very comprehensive plan to help the economic vitality of Morro Bay, but most importantly, the extended TOT. So this would definitely be probably a 3 or 4 day trip that we were anticipating, and can be, these are happening all over the country all the time. So the legalities is just something you walk through and you cross your T's and dot your I's.
And Jane, this is Stephanie, and thank you so much for asking that question, because Brett and I actually had the same conversation about how do we lure those skiers to Morro Bay if they're more inclined to do an exciting outdoor adventure. Well, oftentimes the skiers or snowboarders like to surf too, so I don't know if you've seen our digital ad that launched January 1, but it's specific and specifically speaks to those and targeted to those outdoor enthusiasts about surfing. So it's a really, actually we showed it earlier, it's go ahead and catch the wave. I'm sorry, I can't quite remember the exact copy on it, but it's speaking to those people to get them to come to Morro Bay instead of skiing.
Just for the record, for legality purposes, and for the record, I wanted to note that Taylor Newton has joined our meeting. He officially walked in at 9:55, so I just want that for the record, please. And then, Taylor, I know you came in at the tail end. Did you have any questions of anything? I know you missed part of it, but any questions for Verdin?
I'm a big fan of Verdin, so I'm glad that this was the one I missed part of, because I already am a big fan, so it makes it more fair.
Well, Taylor, I'm Mary. I have not had the chance to meet you. Hello. We are going to send the presentation. It's a Prezi format, but we're going to send that as a PDF to Brent, and he can send that out to all of you, so at least you can go through everything. And then there are a couple videos in there that wouldn't be in the PDF, but we can always send you links to those if you'd like to see them.
Awesome.
And I think that would be really good, too, because then that way we can send those out to stakeholders, to the city, for SAM and council as well. So that would be great. If you could forward that to Brent, that would be wonderful. I would just want to say I don't really have a lot of questions. Thank you. I know you guys have worked hard for us over the last year and some whatever months. So thank you for all of your guys' time and hard work and energy. You guys are always coming out and being really enthusiastic, which is always a great plus, because then you go back and work behind your desks enthusiastically. Right. But I don't really have any questions. I'm kind of along with Taylor. We've seen what you guys have done and known you guys have done a great job. So we appreciate all your hard work. Brent, do you have anything to add before we move forward?
I don't have anything specifically to add, because I have my notes and et cetera. So worked with the whole team here for, it seems longer than 18 months, doesn't it? But no, thank you guys for coming. I didn't even have to use my signs. I appreciate that. I am kind of the Nazi timekeeper. But with that, you know, you guys might be able to take a quick break while you guys get a chance to distribute the bags, et cetera. You still have like 7 minutes left. So, however you want to focus that last 7 minutes,
awesome.
please maximize.
Okay. So Stephanie and Lisa are just handing out. This is, had you come to the Seafood Voyage, this is what you might leave with as your little, swag bag. So while those are being handed out, we would love to get feedback from you. Like I said at the beginning, this is really all about you. It's not all about us. And we strive to be responsive and tailor everything we do to what the client needs and what the client wants. So I don't know if any of you have feedback for us on things that you would like us to do more of, or questions about any of the past work. And also, we would love to hear any feedback you have from your guests, because we are very flexible and responsive to things that we hear. I know that, in fact, the last campaign that we've done was based on some overheard conversations and trying to work in, God, what are the visitors saying? How do we get them to engage? So pretty
Perfect.
Much anything.
So we'll go around the room. You know, one thing I'll say is I really have appreciated the niche marketing, the direct marketing you guys have done. That was always something I know Joan and I for years would be like, I don't want to go after all of, you know, you can't capture millions of people, but when you go after what we are so great about with ecotourism and surfing and the outdoorism, I mean, I think that speaks for itself. And it's so, we are kind of a cost-effective community, and those are things that don't cost a lot of money to go out and ride your bike or go out and surf and go take a hike. Those are things that do fit in a lot of people's budgets. So I really appreciate you guys have done that, and I would say, you know, keep that up because I think that's what gets, it truly turns those heads in beds. It gets people to actually, it's much more active, I guess. You know, people actually come up and do those things. So that's my two cents. And then, Jane, I'm going to go to you first. Do you have any feedback, anything you want to give since you're...
No, I already
did. You already did? Okay.
Thank you for your presentation.
Joan?
So I probably moved from hotel to hotel more so than... Thank you, Brent.
Ah! 5 minutes.
I feel like I probably moved from hotel to hotel more than anybody else in town, so I've had all these different brands and different brand management. I do feel like more so than ever before, we do have a lot of niche markets that are coming in, and I do think it's because of the type of direct marketing that you're doing. We've always had a goal here of having an 80% touch of the dollars that we collect on behalf of the hotelier stakeholders go back and directly touch the consumer, to go back and directly touch the consumer to put heads in beds. I want to congratulate you because of your help, if I heard this right at the meeting on Tuesday night, TOT is the number, it is the highest number one driver to the general fund. It surpassed property tax this year. So congratulations on that.
Good job.
And that, I should say, I'm going to throw in, if we included the tourism-driven revenue from tourism property tax, that number would be a whopper. So congratulations, guys, and I appreciate all your efforts. So thank you.
Aaron?
I know from our property here just around the way, we brought in 6 beach cruiser bicycles with giant overinflated tires. Not sure how those are going to respond to guests, and frankly, we need to bring in more this spring because we'll usually have all of them out around town. We branded those well, and it was an example of the niche outdoor marketing that is really, really popular here. Mm-hmm. Our guests come, even if they didn't think they were going to engage in those kind of activities, they do. Given the opportunity, because mm-hmm. they're coming from areas where they don't have the cute sidewalks, they don't have the waterfront, all of these things. So it's actually been amazing people that have said they haven't been on a bicycle in 10 or 15 years, and now they're gone all day on these things. Mm-hmm. So, and helmets, of course, free to all. But kind of an extension of that thought is branding that just down-home, local, outdoor experience seems to be a real hit, and I'd love to see whatever company carries Morro Bay forward from here really focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
And as it was also mentioned, a lot of our tourism here, since they are local, they are that tier one, they are within the horseshoe, it is not a very expensive trip to make. It's very cost effective, and that is a value that we have, with gas prices being low. That is a value that they have to come here, and so they're looking for those activities. It doesn't cost a lot, and I think that's really an important part of the brand. So, and thank you all, at me being probably the newest TBID board member. I'm still playing catch-up, only being here for a month now, but I have seen a lot of your work with Verdin, and thank you for the last 18 months of being part of branding Morro Bay and helping to push it forward.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
I'm going to go to Taylor, but one other thing I'll remember, too. Great job, too, on staying out of traditional, you know, and going out and doing some of these things, because that is truly what does... You know, we're in a whole new age now, and we've seen it change over the years. So it's nice to utilize those other avenues that are very effective. So I'll not forget about that one. And then Taylor, sorry.
as a non-hotelier on the group here, I'm particularly interested in the younger generation marketing, millennials, X-Gen. And I'm also particularly interested in the LGBT market and the Bay Area and Los Angeles are the localities that most of my customers and business are influenced by. So that's what I look at.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And one of our core values is enthusiasm, so it's great to hear you say that.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Now, as Verdin exits, because we do need to have you guys exit quickly, the mental marketing, you guys, come on in. Come on in, the whole team. So mental marketing, you guys can come on up to the podium. I know, Mark, you have the magic little clicker. Verdin is going to exit very quickly. We do want to make sure that we start on time. 10:15 is the start of their presentation. So mental marketing has actually served as the PR agency specifically for Morro Bay. And they've done a fantastic job with that. But I do want to have Mark just come on up to the podium. You guys can start your presentation.
Terrific. How is everybody this morning? Good, good. I'm Mark Elterman. Bill is also going to kick us off here. He's bringing some visual materials here to get
You have to be on
up.
The mic.
Okay. Yeah. And can you all see the screen? Pretty well from
yeah,
okay.
We ended up, when you go into presentation, you'll see us a lot of us move that way.
That would make good sense. All right, terrific. Okay, so Bill is going to introduce all the members, and while he's getting set up, I just want to mention that we're really excited to talk with you today, and we're very proud of our relationship, and we really enjoy our relationship with the City of Morro Bay and the Bureau. So today is going to be really fun for us, okay? So so we're going to have Bill get started and introduce everybody. We have some team members that we've assembled for this particular project, and you'll have a chance to learn more about each and every one of them. Okay, Bill?
Good morning, and thank you very much for this opportunity. I'd like to introduce you to the Mental Marketing Infinite Solutions team. I'm Bill Stansfield. I'm kind of your glue. I'm the COO of Mental Marketing. And I'll have each person come up and introduce themselves.
Good morning. My name is Mike Kirby. I am the Creative Director for Mental.
Hi, I'm Susan Hartzler, and I'm the Public Relations Executive at Mental.
Good morning. I'm Mary Ann Stansfield, and I'm the Vice President of Marketing for Mental Marketing, and we have the same last name because we're married. Not to confuse.
And I'm Mark Elterman. I'm the CEO of Mental Marketing. And like Bill, I'm somewhat of the glue. I play a role in working with you directly in crafting marketing plans that are executed. And then I also provide, like many CEOs, I know we have business owners here, you really do whatever anybody needs you to do under any circumstance. So that's basically my role here. So I'm going to go ahead and kick off real quick here. I think most of you are fairly familiar with us, but there's some key points that we would like to emphasize. We're in our 10th year as Mental Marketing right here on the Central Coast. I can't even believe it's been 10 years. But we're very proud of the fact that we have a very innovative virtual model that is really advantageous to you in many ways. For one, right here out of your back door, our team works with a variety of different hospitality tourism organizations, including the California Highway 1 Discovery Route, which is the 10 destinations that spans from Big Sur all the way down into Oceano. And that particular client is the unincorporated region of the county. And we can demonstrate a lot of great benefits to you in that. And we'll talk a little bit more about how Morro Bay directly benefits from all of our public relations work that really offers you lower cost efficiencies and greater coverage. In addition, our infinite solutions model is particularly important. When Bill and I organized this company 10 years ago, we said, look, we want to live here, especially we want to play in Morro Bay, but we want to serve all all types of clients all over the world. So the way you do that is to have a very nimble team of experts that you can pull together for any particular region. Okay, for any type of execution. So our folks come from literally all over the world to serve you. Okay, what that allows us to do is to react to clients' changing needs. Clients, particularly in the tourism area, as you've seen here, are in a very dynamic environment. Your needs change. Our infrastructure is to be able to adapt to those client changes very, very quickly. And that's a huge advantage to you. All told, we're incredibly responsive. We have no learning curve in working with you. We know you. We live here. We play here. And we're also providing some tremendous efficiencies in terms of public relations and media strategies that we'll talk a little bit more about. Okay, so that's kind of the quick introduction beyond what you may have already know about us. Okay, all right. So you asked for a campaign example, and we talked a little bit about the California Discovery Route. Okay, on Highway 1, that used to be called Wine Coast Country, which didn't really mean anything to anybody. And Mike and Bill and this team rebranded it as the Highway 1 Discovery Route. Very, very effective in describing what is a great way to have an amazing road trip, in essence. Well, how do you bring all that together so that it's really meaningful? And one campaign example is to create, we think is quite exemplary, is to create a six-week campaign. This is basically a six-week event called Coastal Discovery and Stewardship. We have a tremendous sustainability program here. So what we did is we said, look, we're going to create a promotion that lasts 6 weeks, and it's going to contain a lot of different events. It's going to contain a lot of different activities, food, events, free movies at Hearst Castle. Okay? All these different things that distinguish this regional brand in a way that's really meaningful. Okay? Then we're also going to really target the shoulder season. This happens January, February when it's pretty slow. You've got rooms to fill. Okay? We're going to address the attendance of various activities. All these different activities, they all need help, right? So this particular campaign is designed to helping them in a really low-cost manner. It's very difficult to do that when you're doing it on for just a couple days, right? We want to do it for 6 weeks and really drive occupancy, okay? And then a big part of any event like this is to get stakeholder participation. So a big part of the effort is getting lodging involved, getting state parks involved, getting NOAA and the Coastal Discovery Center. Those people involved early on in the process. Makes the promotions very meaningful for them because they're doing a lot of the marketing for you. Okay? And then, naturally, our job is to drive lodging revenue. Okay? Very difficult to drive lodging revenue just for a three-day event. Yes, you can do it, but it's way more meaningful to do it over a six-week period. Okay? So that's really kind of the goals of this program. So how do we actually execute it? Well, you know, you see that a lot of the program is through, first started with constituent outreach. The hoteliers themselves are promoting this. Okay, we give them tools to promote to their past guests so they can come back and stay with them. They love that. We also provide integrated public relations and social media. That's a big part of this particular campaign. We're providing contests. We're providing tickets. We're pitching media who actually come here and they participate in stewardship-related activities, and then they stay and eat, and they go to Hearst Castle and do all these things that they really, really love. So that's highly integrated into this. And what does that really do? It brings the cost of promotions way down. Naturally, with a very small amount of money, we're also doing a lot of digital marketing. And one of the things that we'd like to impress upon you is that when we're doing digital marketing, we're not just counting impressions, we're making impressions count. So what we're doing is we're identifying people who actually convert. What do they like to do? Where do they stay? Where do they come from? What do they look like? and then we find more of them in our digital strategies. And that is something, if you take a look at our proposal, that's something that we offer you, because we have some incredible data mining capabilities that are really important so that your costs go way down. Okay, so that's really kind of the essence of that particular campaign. It's completely multi-layered and highly successful. So the results have to be meaningful. Okay, we assess. We're now in our third year of doing this. The Board of Supervisors at the county, they love this, and they even provide a proclamation that this is the Coastal Discovery and Stewardship Month. So they're on board. It's good to have the Board of Supervisors on board. Trust me. We have year-over-year, yes, year-over-year TOT gains. Naturally, we're always looking at TOT, and it's great to do that over a six-week period. We also look at the lodging properties, because the lodging properties are doing thematic campaigns and packages. So we say, okay, you know, how many packages have you sold? Okay, well, you know, a very small inn in Los Osos said, my gosh, during this period, I sold 80 packages. Fantastic. They're going to do it again. Another Cayucas Motel, I sold 40 packages directly through this funnel of promotion. All right. We also had a small event, the Paso Robles Blend Fest, which is right there on the coast in San Simeon. They sold out, and they're going to do it again. Okay. What all this speaks to, and in our recommendation to you, is that we can expand everything. We expand media coverage. You know, so we're bringing the media in here for a six-week period as opposed to a 3 or 4 day period. Okay, that expands your capacity to market exponentially on a low-cost basis. Plus, when you look at it this way, instead of promoting a single event, we're promoting all the events. Okay, and what that enables us to do is to expand our capacity in a great and meaningful way to drive lodging revenue. Okay, the other thing that's also really important is that, you know, when we're talking about leveraging PR, you know, each and every region is leveraging our public relations, so that when we're bringing media here, much like when we're bringing folks for the Discovery Route, these media, these journalists from LA Times, you know, New York Times, whatever, we're sending them to multiple locations, all with the vision of getting people to understand where we are and why you should stay here longer. Okay, and Marianne and Susan will talk a little bit more about that. So these are very meaningful results, and it actually speaks to some of the strategies that we're going to offer you here in just a few minutes. Okay, so what do we do with all this? Well, first we get the clicker to go. In terms of what the process is, we're going to turn this over to Bill, because we have a creative process that we think is really, really important in terms of working together. And Bill, I'm going to kick this on over to Bill, but I'm going to keep this.
Thanks, Mark. Mental marketing, how we are structured, this is actually our process. We visualize, strategize, and realize results. We found this extremely successful with the majority of our clients over the last 10 years, and what we want to do with this particular thing is to basically, we understand your visualization of this event, and you guys do have lofty goals for this event, and what we want to try to do is achieve those numbers that you've set forth for us. So we've strategized on this, and we realize that similar to the Coastal Discovery Month, also with the advent of spring break, that there is a huge opportunity to basically really make this a successful campaign and hit the numbers that you're basically trying to achieve. And what I would like to do is turn this over to Mike, and he'll talk about the creative process that we went through and what we plan on doing.
Thank you, Bill. Basically, I'm going to make this quick. One of our theories is that ideas speak for themselves, so I'm just going to give you essentially the bullet points of this so that we can get right into the thing that I know that you really want to see, which are the ideas. The first thing we had to do for you guys is we had to come up with a name, because, you know, quite honestly, just Seafood Festival, unfortunately, has too much halo overlap into restaurant promotions. Everybody's got that already in their brain. So if they hear Seafood Festival, they're thinking Red Lobster, because we wanted to have a hook that really kind of set up the sustainable seafood platform that's an important part of this entire promotion.
And hook, I think, is actually a pretty good way to describe it. Because what we did is we went through tons of names. We went through so many sheets of names. But we decided what we came down to is we decided, let's call this thing the Catch Fest. Because it's a fun name, it's an umbrella name, it conveys that there's more to the entire event than just seafood itself. And that led to the line that you're seeing under this logo, Exploration, which is sustainable seafood at its best. It's got a mnemonic quality to it. We're saying Morro Bay Catch Fest, sustainable seafood at its best. It's memorable. It's fun. It has energy to it. So we did these logo explorations, and quite honestly, there was probably about 20 more of them. We like these. They're wonderful logos. But in the course of every exploration, you always come up with one where you have that aha moment, and you say, oh, my God, that's it. And it led to this. Morro Bay Catch Fest. What's really lovely about this is that, as you can see, it applies in a lot of different ways. One thing that we get caught up in sometimes as creative people is we come up with something where, oh no, you got a banner ad where it has to go horizontal. Oh no, it's a vertical. We got to make it work. Also, we wanted it to be the type of thing that the community would embrace. They'd want to put it on their t-shirts. They'd want to get tattoos. They'd want to have it shaved in the back of their heads. You know, little school children would graffiti it on walls around town. And it, you know, it's executable in that regard. So now we have a great logo, we think. So now we wanted a great idea to go with it. And here's what it needed to do in our minds is to make it go wide. It has to support sustainable seafood, but promise more. It has to be infused with energy, with fun, with humor, playfulness, because that's what people want when they come to these things. Yes, they want to eat seafood, but they also want to have all these events, so it's a platform for that. We wanted to demonstrate to the travel targets that the entire Morro Bay embraces Catch Fest enthusiastically, right? And we wanted to leverage, as you're seeing, that universal symbol of pride connected with fishing. So it all comes back full circle. And we kind of thought, well, instead of saying it's huge, we're going to say it's this big. That's our promise to people. You come to the Morro Bay Catch Fest, it really is this big. There's so much to do. There's so much fun to be had. So with the it's this big overriding concept, we said, all right, let's see how we can expand that further into maybe TV and radio and carry that forward. So we did a little rough. This is rough. This is not a finished spot by any stretch of the imagination. Oh, a little glitch there. Why we're trying to fix that, the other thing that we thought about this, and it's an expansion of the concept, is, as you can tell, these are locals that we have in the thing.
Can we get somebody from AGP out here, please?
Is that Mark? Who's in the other one?
Yes, that's Mark.
Okay. That's Mark, yeah. He's a waiter. Yeah, he's a waiter to Liz Guy, I think. Yeah. He's good. Yeah, seeing Mark do that really makes me laugh.
Now, X.
As soon as I see that, thanks. It's really cute.
Catch the spirit of Morro Bay at the Morro Bay Catch Fest.
It's this big.
4 weeks of food, wine, sea. Catch the spirit of.
Okay, it looks like they have the video up. So if we can have everybody's attention onto the screen.
This is going to go real quick. If we got time, we can run it a couple more times. Yeah, go ahead.
It's really cute.
Catch the spirit of Morro Bay at the Morro Bay Catch Fest.
It's this big.
4 weeks of food, wine, seafood, and fun. March 5th through April 2nd, 2016.
It is this big.
Find special lodging packages and buy a Morro Bay Catch Fest Adventure Pass at morrobay.org.
It's this big.
It really is this big.
See how great that logo works with your existing logo? It's lovely. Very proud of that.
Oh, Dave. Yeah, whatever. There he is. Oh, my God.
No comment.
I would love
is that officially on the record?
Okay, now we're gonna run the radio spot here.
What happens when California's most picturesque fishing village celebrates its family-run sustainable seafood industry?
It's big.
Yep, the Morro Bay Catch Fest is a big, month-long celebration featuring sustainable seafood at its best, catching the spirit of Morro Bay.
It's that big?
Bigger. The Morro Bay Catch Fest launches Saturday, March 5th, with a festival showcasing fishermen and local chefs cooking up their favorite sustainable seafood recipes and seafood pairing seminars with local winemakers and craft brewers, and off-the-hook harbor and ocean excursions that give you a feel for what it's like to be an oyster farmer or a deep-sea fisherman.
That is big!
The Catch Fest also catches the spirit of Morro Bay all month long, with special harbor tours, dinner cruises, kayak and paddleboard excursions, and surfing seminars, perfect for families, especially over spring break.
Now that's a big deal.
Find generous Morro Bay Catch Fest lodging packages and a month-long adventure pass with discounts on excursions, wine tasting, and festival passes at MorroBay.org.
What's the catch?
Just the spirit of sustainable seafood and Morro Bay. Make your plans today for the Morro Bay Catch Fest and find sustainable seafood and fun this March at MorroBay.org. It's that big.
Okay, there's rough broadcast ideas to show you how we can expand this out. And all that energy, the fun, the humor, the playfulness we were talking about, that translates really nicely into digital ads. Attention getting, we don't have a lot of room to convey everything in them, but we can drive them to your dedicated landing page for the festival. So, what do we got here? We're giving you more than a seafood festival. We're giving you a catch fest that captures the true spirit of Morro Bay. We have a theme with an irresistible promise, at least in my opinion, in our opinion, sustainable seafood at its best. And you have a campaign theme that everyone, merchants, hoteliers, restaurateurs, servicers, anybody in this community, we believe, will support because it really is this big. Thank you.
That's impressive.
Okay. So how do we promote this event on very limited budget? Okay. Now reality sets in, and we recognize that every event, every campaign has limited resources. There are no luxuries in marketing budgets, as far as I can tell, anywhere. So what we did is we said, okay, given a $50,000 budget and that this particular event is more than an event, it really is part of your shoulder season marketing campaign, right? So really, like we have done before for other clients, is we would actually recommend doing this as part of your shoulder season marketing effort anyways. And in doing so, leveraging the actual strategic partners to the tilt, okay? So what we would do is we would spend $25,000 on paid media. And this paid media will be highly targeted to those who we know come here, want to come here, enjoy sustainable seafood and all the different activities. Okay? We also think that because this is part of the Bureau or the city's tourism campaign, that in all likelihood, existing media would be allocated to this. So we said, look, based on prior experience, $5,000 can actually get you a long way in terms of actual conversion for lodging here. So we've actually pumped it up $5,000. Then we recognize that an effort like this that is really integrating the constituency, we have to create a toolkit, right? We have to do all this fun stuff. We have to have digital toolkits, press releases, all that stuff. So there's budget for that. Certainly adequate. We also know that this particular concept is highly viral in its nature. As you can see, you can just sense it right now. You want to have somebody that's really working with the community, running around basically describing why it's this big. Okay? So again, some resources need to go towards that. Okay? Then naturally, PR. We mentioned that during a six-week period, we're going to want to bring journalists here. We're going to want to pitch the media, the travel, culinary, lifestyle media. So some funds need to go there. We also want to do a tour fam for tour operators. And so we would bring in tour operators, and Mary Ann and Susan can talk a little bit more about that. That takes money. So overall, this particular six-week campaign, which would actually be started well in advance, could realistically be done at this budget level. Okay? All right. All right, so we talked a little bit about media. We firmly believe that it is critically important to not waste any dollars. We believe in what we call funnel management, in essence, which basically means that we're going to activate those consumers in our primary markets who we know want to come here and who, in many cases, have already been here. And so we want to target them, and email is a particularly effective way of doing that. So we would apply resources to email, and also helping the lodging constituency use their email lists, because that really is gold to be mined. Okay. Then what happens is we have some tremendous analytical capabilities that allow us to find lookalikes of your past guests. So we can profile past guests, and on a very low-cost basis, we can find people who look, behave, and are from the same zip codes as your past guests. This brings the cost of the promotion way down, okay? And we blast off a lot of email to them, okay? And we know this works because we've been doing it, okay? We also talked about digital ads. We'll have lots of events and giveaways, and that's done through digital ads. And what happens is for those people that come to your website and are interested in it, we retarget them, okay, through digital advertising. It's very efficient. And again, on a weekly basis, we retarget them and we see what's really converting, okay? Big time Facebook, YouTube, Instagram advertising, highly effective. And then we also would go after regional print weeklies in our core market in Southern California, okay? Because we can get, on those particular weeklies, lots of advertorial coverage at low cost. So that's what we would do to provide this funnel management. Mary Ann and Susan will talk a little bit about PR, because we have some great successes for you already, and we would certainly leverage that for this campaign.
Thanks, Mark. Hi, guys. I want to start off by saying it's been an amazing over 2-year ride with you guys doing your PR, and we certainly want to continue to do that as your full ad agency. I know we've to date already, you know, brought millions of impressions to Morro Bay's brand, hundreds of millions of impressions, I should say, millions of dollars worth of ad value. And speaking directly to this market for this particular project, the LA Times loves us. We have several media relationships with them. And I think today we've gotten 4 or 5 articles for you guys already in the LA Times. And speaking of that, we have another print LA Times travel section article coming out this Sunday on Morro Bay from one of our journalist friends. So, you know, we've gotten a lot of online. This is print. It's like even kind of more prestigious, if you will. We think so anyway. But so we would go after this market. And I'm going to have Susan kind of talk about how we would target this market, keeping in mind that we're going after, in the LA market, families as well, because that 4 to 6 week period from March to April is spring break all over Southern California. So we really want to hit those people, have them think of Morro Bay to bring their family for the week. So I'm going to pass it to Susan.
Hi. First off, I have to tell you that I'm a native from LA. So the media there, you know, are old-time friends. And I always say PR is not a career. It's a lifestyle. They're friends of mine. For instance, the journalist that's writing the story for LA Times, she's been around the world with me with different clients. So, but the media approach that we take for this is we really want to get some pre-exposure to sell tickets, to put heads in beds and that type of thing. So what we would do is use the local chefs and local fishermen and get them on all the morning talk shows in LA. They do a lot of food-related topics on those shows, so sustainable seafood would be a really good topic for them. And that would be a pre-thing. We'd write a calendar listing 6 months in advance and distribute it to the long lead publications. Like, for instance, Los Angeles Magazine, they have a calendar in that, but we need to get that to them real early. We generate a special press kit regarding the event, which would have information, too, about Morro Bay year-round, not just during the event.
And then we would want to generate the buzz with a press release, with a pre-press release. So it wouldn't be 6 months out. It'd be more like 6 months out, we do the media alert. 3 months out, we do a press release. And then a month out, we continue doing the press releases. And then we've had a really good response to the Adventure Pass. So we were thinking, why not use what we've already got going on and do a special Adventure Pass for the festival? So we would do, we would promote that, and we would also do a media fam. So we'd want to do a media fam prior and during, because we want to sell tickets. So one of the things that we would be focusing on with the media fam is not just traditional media, which is great, but also bloggers, which Brent's been great with helping us develop this amazing list of travel and culinary bloggers, a lot from LA. So we would contact them and get them. And the great thing about bloggers is most of them also offer social media. So let's say that they're here for the Catch Fest. They'll be writing about it in real time. So that's a great way to get more heads in beds. So basically what we would do is generate millions of dollars worth of free publicity, free editorial for you, before, during, and after, to set up for the following year.
We have Travis now.
Hi, I'm going to be the closer, apparently. So my name's Travis Ford. I am your social media marketing director. And, you know, Mark's already talked a lot about some really great ways we're going to advertise through social media. And really what I'm going to bring through my end is sort of the digital boots on the ground. You know, we hear a lot of buzzwords in social media land about, you know, going viral and organic reach and all these things. And really what it means is creating truly shareable content, creating things that people are going to want to like, want to share, want to spread out throughout their own little social universe. And you know, a couple ways we're going to be doing that is you know, we're going to partner with a couple of local photographers, and you know, instead of trying to go out and bring in an outsider, we're going to keep it local. We're going to get people that can go out on a boat, they can take a picture of the fishing world in its living, breathing realm and share it with people so they can get excited about it. They can see what it's like to be that part of the world. You know, we are trying to talk fast here. We are.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. Your 30-minute presentation time is actually up. We do have to be fair in opening up for Q&A for the board.
Okay, so Jane, I'm going to go to you last because I know you said you had a delay. So I'm going to come back to you because last time it was too quick for you. So I'm going to go over questions. Aaron, I'll start with you at the end.
More like a comment. I know the advertising metrics to use, social media versus print advertising, that stuff, that's a relative science, different philosophies there. But all of that doesn't do much work if the campaign behind it is rather drab and boring. Just sitting here, relatively new to the board. This is actually my second TBID meeting. I love the activity we're doing here, but your campaign is phenomenal. I think it's catching, and as you said at the initial presentation, it needs to speak for itself. If you have to define the campaign, it's a bomb. And I truly like the energy there. I think it can go a lot of different ways, and the viral potential is absolutely there.
Thank you. Joan?
So, this is not my first time seeing presentations. This is not my second meeting. As a matter of fact, it's actually my last. So I have to say, I've sat through a lot, that would be A with a capital, of presentations, and that was hysterical. And I think I really relate to it because I'm surrounded in my life by men. And sorry, guys, right? And it was really hysterical, and it was terrific to see Jeff Anderson step out like that, right? The Andersons, right? To just step out like that. So, and to use locals in your campaign, really fun, a fun way to approach Morro Bay because we are very local. That's what our visitors like. They like the fact that they come here, they meet the hotel owner and operator. They meet the restaurant owner and operator. they stop and ask for directions, and the person who is walking their dog actually goes over and gives them directions and is not afraid to approach a strange car. We're used to it here. Our entire citizenry is their ambassadors, basically, for our community. So I appreciate it. Made me laugh. Got me going. And I do have a question for Travis in regards to social media, so that maybe we can have, sorry, everyone else, I'm not ignoring any of you, but he didn't get to finish. And
sure.
In regards to social media and different outlets, there are so many outlets for social media.
Right.
Which outlet? I know you're going to say, well, we can just, you know, simultaneously post on them all.
Right.
In your research, which outlets do you see as the most effective use of the social media time and dollars?
Sure. So really the most effective use as far as dollars spent would probably be YouTube and Facebook with the video essence, because we're going to take the produced spot that is going to be running on other medias, and we're going to push that out to pretty much in front of people during their daily lives. So it's and that's really the strongest avenue for putting a strong audio and video essence right in front of everyone, if that makes sense.
It does. Yeah. Totally makes sense. Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Yeah, great answer. Taylor, any questions, feedback, comments?
I loved the pitch. What I saw, for me with Morro Bay, I love Morro Bay and I love the uniqueness of Morro Bay. It's part of the reason that I moved back here. And we are a uniquely humorous and loving community and very passionate. And I also think modern. And I think that what you displayed there was all those things. So. Good job.
Jane, Miss Artist up there, any comments? 2 cents?
Of course.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. I thought it was exciting. It held my interest. It caught my attention because it was something different. It was colorful. Never got boring. It was fun. I think that's a big deal for all ages. It makes me want to be in Morro Bay because if this is the type of ad campaign that they're putting on or colors, that's where I want to be. I think that I love the way that mental marketing dealt with the money aspect, because that's an issue we all have to deal with. I also like the way they talked about their connections, because in marketing, connections make a big deal in, you know, getting the, you know, when you talk about dealing with past and present and future, it's connections. So they know where they've been and they know where they're going. I like the modern feel for it. I like that it was unique. So I'm sold. I loved it.
Okay. Joan has one other thing, and then I'll comment or a question.
Since this is a theoretical presentation and this is actually not our community branding, I am wondering, since our community branding is Discover Your Better Nature, it's trademarked. Discover Your Better Nature is trademarked, and we were told to use the Discover portion of that, so that's how we branded over the last 3 years. In terms of that branding, and this being a, you know, imaginary festival, how do you plan on... I don't want to speak for the board, but I think the board is sold on the imaginary campaign, right? So how would you tie something clever like that into our Discover branding? That's my question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I can follow that.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah.
Because I think what we tried to do with this logo specifically, where is the logo?
On the bottom right.
Over here. If you can see, we used a similar font. You can see we used a similar font in Morro Bay right here as the Discover is in your logo. So it's very synonymous with your branding, the colors that you use. We wanted to expand your color palette a little more. We use the colors from the fishermen overalls that they wear when they're fishing, the oranges, the different yellows. That's how we kind of came up with the color palette. And we can certainly interweave it in with our messaging. Catch the Spirit of Morro Bay was really kind of would be the key messaging we would use in our PR and so forth. Because it's easy to say, catch the Spirit of Morro Bay. You'll discover a world of adventure. I mean, there's so many ways you can use it. You can catch the trolley. You can catch the and discover the trolley. You can catch and discover the boat out, you know, out on the dining cruise. You can catch and discover so many things. So that's how we would use that.
Great, thank you. I had a couple things. One, I loved it. I mean, it so catches it. It's something everybody's going to talk about. I mean, Travis can go crazy online with it. I mean, this would go viral in 2 seconds. So that's great. And I loved the month long. Thank you. You know, we should be year long, but you know, you really got to focus in. And I really liked that. I thought that was really good on your guys' part. We have enough things to go on for a month as far as what we do here in Morro Bay and the uniqueness. And the local aspect has me sold 2 cents. I mean, that's what we're about. We're all heart and souls. We're all here. Like Taylor said, we have tons of passion and we're all local. So being out there and being able to present what they love and it is so easy. And it comes from your heart and people feel that. I think we forget that marketing is also about feelings and it's about how we feel inside. I mean, you had us all up here. I mean, just feeling it. And that alone is what that is going to get the audience also. So, you know, props to you guys. Amazing. One of the best presentations, like Joan's saying, we've seen in a long time. You guys have done a really great job with your PR over the last time. I know we've got to work with you guys for many, many years. So thank you for all your hard work on all the PR you've done. And to see the creative side, you know, I didn't even know you guys had this creative side. So it's really kind of exciting to see. And I think that was all I had. The niche marketing, too. I think you guys got that, though. That's been a big thing on our end is that niche. And I think by doing this, it is all of that niche marketing. I can see, you know, it's this big by the stand-up paddlers and the kayakers and the restaurants and the retail. And, you know, and I can even see it on a city level. I have been talking for years about a city campaign to the locals. You can have the fire department out there. It's this big with the fire truck. And, I mean, I just see it on a regional level, too. So, I mean, it gets me excited.
The Rock really is that big.
The Rock really is that big. And our hearts are that big. I mean, look at us. We're coming up with it's February. Our hearts are that big. So kudos to you guys. Great presentation. I really, really loved it. So.
May I comment on your comment?
Yeah, please. Comment. Yeah.
You can. You guys have about 4 minutes left.
Terrific. Okay. Yeah. One of the things, actually, also to Joan, also to your comment as well, is that while we recognize this is a fictitious exercise, mm-hmm. We think you should do it. And the reality of it is, when we started on this path of exploration, we said, what could actually really work for them? Okay, based on our past experience, based on what we know is the energy and the spirit of Morro Bay, and also solving some really definite marketing challenges. And this campaign actually does that. We also did get some feedback from, you know, your peers as well, because that's really, really important in what you do. And so, you know, for instance, we just we had our press release. I don't know if Marianne passed out the press release for this campaign. Charlie Yates, at the end, he pulled this off his printer, and he said, I want to do this. He said, this is when I need to fill rooms, okay? And we recognize that it's not time to go fishing, right? But we need to fill rooms, basically. And so he said, yeah, I see this actually helping us move the needle in terms of occupancy. And so we got it right away. So, and of course, getting through Jeff Anderson as well, I thought was kind of fun as well, because he's not easily convinced.
He as well said, I would love to see this happen. So just so you know.
So we would be, I think, at fault if we didn't say thank you to you for your efforts over the past years. Thank you for this presentation. This coming from me direct way. I want you to know I told the other marketing firm that for the first time in a long, long, long time, Morro Bay's TOT surpassed property tax as the number one revenue source to the city coffers of Morro Bay.
And that has a lot to do, I think, with, you know, really focusing marketing over the past 5 years to get it there. And tourism is number one in Morro Bay in terms of revenue to the city, which is terrific. And, property tax, there's a lot of property tax that comes in through tourism, right? Hotels, restaurants, all that. So thank you so much for your efforts there to help our community out.
Well, thank you very much. We sure enjoyed and appreciate your time. In closing, I say, again, we want to make everything bigger for you and better. And you can see that in a very short period of time, we've come up with something that is really doable and great. And just imagine, working together on a daily basis on everything, just what we can do. We think really your possibilities are infinite with us.
One last thing, too. Thanks for knowing Morro Bay. I mean, you truly came out and hit a home run with knowing who we are as a community and who we want to really reach out to. And I think that says a lot. It shows that you guys do know Morro Bay and what's unique to us, because you do represent other communities. And, before I've heard Board rumble about, we get worried, but you know what Morro Bay has and what our niches are. And so kudos to that, too.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Okay. I'm going to have you exit, and we're going to get the next presenter up.
So public out there, we're just transferring over ad agencies here. The next one will be coming in. We'll probably be on about a 1 minute hold, maybe two, if we're watching the clock.
Hey, I already got mine.
We have a few in the restroom, but we have a minute before we can have them guys start. Yeah.
Hello, hello.
Yeah.
Testing, test.
We're just waiting for one more, and then we'll get
fine.
Going.
That's fine. You deserve a natural break.
No, I'm the time Nazi. It's like, we got to be on time. It's a Midwest thing.
So,
but you're very nice.
No, sometimes I'm not. All right, Michelle. Aaron will almost be like in his seat. All right. They are ready.
Well, okay. Good morning, everybody.
My name is Michelle Hoyer.
I am the founding partner of HMA. And I would like to begin today by introducing a couple of the key team members that are here with me today. Gerald Simon is our creative director, senior creative director, Anna Bailey is our creative director, and Grace Marvin is public relations. On behalf of the entire HMA team, I can't tell you how pleased we are to be here today, and we really do look forward to sharing with you how we can make a difference for Morro Bay. All of us, by the way, are supported by a fabulous team of talented team members that are located in our home office in Monterey, California. We also have a satellite office in Chico, California. HMA is a data-driven company. We are primarily a marketing company, and since we opened our doors in 1984, we have focused on helping our clients leverage their data resources to drive revenue. Our fully managed approach provides a myriad of support services, marketing teams require to be successful, and more importantly, to sustain the marketing effort. Over the last 30 years, we have served hotel management companies, independent hotels, resorts, wineries, and a variety of destination marketing companies. I believe the diversity of projects, players, initiatives that we have had the opportunity to lead, participate in, and influence over time is what makes our team a multidimensional team. We are very strong problem solvers. And perhaps this is the biggest strength we as a team bring to the table for our client partnerships. Many of HMA team members have been with us and the company between 8 and 20 years, and we forge equally long relationships with the clients we have served. Our experience with destination marketing organizations has included 11 years working with Cannery Row Company. Here we spearheaded the first joint marketing effort between Cannery Row, the City of Monterey, and the Monterey Bay Aquarium. We also worked with San Diego Visitors and Convention Bureau, the Mariposa County Visitors Bureau, and the Bend, Oregon Visitors Bureau. Our team is divided into six specialty areas. Namely, data services, marketing, e-solutions, direct mail management, creative services, and public relations. I think it's important to note that our creative services team is no ordinary design team. Our digital designers are master coders who really understand responsive design and the importance of ensuring that your emails render appropriately in the mobile environment. And this is where travelers of today are looking for their destination information. After several years of our clients urging us to make a next step, in August of this year, we added our public relations arm to the company. Even though in place for a mere 6 months, we have already experienced a lot of success, and it has represented a very natural addition of services support to both our team and clients. We also partner with Screen Pilot for the digital advertising portion of the budget. We have worked with Tom Dibble and his team over the last 10 years on over 80 different projects. They are based in Denver, Colorado, and their company, length of service, and client approach very much mirrors our own. And we have today we will be sharing some examples of that work. In terms of our success story, we selected our work that we did with Benchmark Hospitality International. In early 2013, they launched a new brand called Personal Luxury Resorts and Hotels. This consisted of a collection of 7 luxury hotels located in 7 unique destinations in the United States and Curaçao. The marketing efforts, as most often in these scenarios, were only being completed at the hotel level. There was great resistance from all these hotels to pull together their resources for fear that pulling together their resources to market would impact their guest loyalty at the hotel level. So, other than convincing the entire group to finally pool these valuable resources, we also developed a series of goals that everybody could buy into. This included the ability to build brand awareness, to increase crossover visitation between the properties and move people between the properties, to build customer and hotel collection employee awareness of the experiences the collection actually offer to the guests, and to show some value to all the stakeholders. Our solution ended up being an 18-month email campaign. We did end up merging the data from all the properties, segmenting that data, and creating a series of highly targeted messages. The email templates that we created could be easily modified to send targeted messages to the niche segments. These templates drove the customers to a very visual collection landing page where they could see the news, special offers, and easily book a vacation. We also, as part of that exercise, developed new headers and footers for the email templates to ensure that there was consistency of branding collection-wide. Again, this project did, the length was 18 months, and our audiences included the leisure audience, group audiences, as well as travel agents. Throughout the 18 months, a series of highly visual templates were blasted that with a call to action. The templates did vary in look and feel. They were highly engaging. And it was also accompanied by a very segmented banner ad placement that pretty much showcased the collection and the brand. In terms of our overall results, it was a highly successful campaign. We produced over 18,000 visits and 48,000 total room nights. The crossover was extremely successful, with people crossing over between the brands over 3,000 visits and 9,000 room nights. Our ROI on this campaign was over 30,000%, and the total revenue generated was in the low eight figures and in the teens of millions. Screen Pilot results equaled ours with over 2 million impressions. They had an average click-through rate of 18%, which was very high. In total, the cost of the campaign represented $50,000. I would like right now to give the floor to Gerald Simon, our Senior Creative Director. He will begin to speak about the Seafood Festival and our approach to making that a total success.
Good afternoon. So the current challenge is to bring life to an existing event. As Michelle mentioned, we are a data company specializing in reaching a target audience and converting them to actual consumers. Couple that with a strong visual, engaging content from Anna and I, we can build interest, in turn building excitement, to influence a single course of action, in this case, coming to Morro Bay. So let's give you a visual of what goes through our heads. The proposed scenario of the Sustainable Seafood Fest has generated 20,000 attendees on average from Saturday and Sunday. We base it on 11K for Saturday, 9K on Sunday, just to narrow down the numbers for targeting. That number has dwindled down to 8,000, about 4,500 on Saturday, 3,500 on Sunday. This 8,000 represents your core attendees. Time and time again, this 8,000 have returned. I say return because more than likely they hold a strong interest to the event. Majority is regional, supporters of the community, and city functions. However, our main interest is the 12,000 loss of business. Understanding the reason will set the groundwork of things to avoid. Experience is always good to be the main factor, but unless you collect data and feedback, we'll never absolutely know for sure. That data collection would happen after the first event. It could be caused by overcrowding, inconvenient parking, food ran out, a number of situations can happen. So let's take a look at the target. We have California in the middle, Morro Bay, San Luis Obispo County. It is between two big metropolitan areas, San Jose up north, the city, and LA down south. If we take a closer look, San Luis Obispo County itself has over 290,000 residents. Our target would not want to bring 100% of those, but to only reach a certain percentage. It's not even 90, it's not even half. The target number would only be 7%. If we hit 7% of the population, you would have already surpassed attendees when it was at its highest. Of course, that doesn't include the outlying areas. Targets we would include LA, of course, Central Valley. We go as far as north as Sacramento, and of course San Jose. This would account for the overnighters and hotel bookings. Of course, that would happen through third-party list acquisitions. Question would be, what would we serve all these potential influencers and consumers? go back to the goals real quick. We have first-year goal, we'll try to hit 12,000 attendees. Second-year goal, we'll probably hit 18,000. We'll build up with the data that we would collect. Of course, by year three, the event would be so big we would sell out and go over our numbers. The event concept to deliver to these these contacts would be an experience, something that they can get excited about, something that is memorable, worth reliving. It would be the sustainable seafood event. The mission, to educate, inspire, foster environmental stewardship through a celebration of sustainable seafood and ocean life. The event would invite you to sip, savor, and shape the future of our oceans, to join us for a weekend of all things seafood, local artisan creations, and family fun, all rooted in promoting the well-being of our oceans, inspiring interest in Central Coast sustainable seafood. The ocean is massive. The event should be just as big.
Well said.
And with all that being said, I would like to introduce you to Beyond the Sea, a sustainable seafood festival. This brand that we've created complements the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau. It promotes education, positions us to have an environmental ideal platform for media coverage. It's very versatile for social media. It's meant for growth and has a lot of potential for high-profile sponsorship. This event is going to be for our community to showcase all that it has to offer and for those that come to interact and create connections and lasting memories at Morro Bay, a place where we can come together to sip, savor, and celebrate our oceans, a place for the entire family. Now, with the use of strong type and mesmerizing photography, we branded this event as an educational, fun, and family-friendly movement. We've created a responsive email campaign that will be the face of all our general marketing, news, contests, and announcements leading up to the event. We have a sustainable leave behind to keep people in conversation, to drive people to the website where they will have access to lots of educational materials, and to encourage them to follow, tag, post, and communicate with us on social media. We have a remarketing ad campaign to drive visitors back to the website and keep it fresh in their minds as they're browsing the internet. Banners for the city to get the entire community excited and to get the city dressed up and looking its best before the event. An enticing poster that will hang in local businesses all over the San Luis Obispo County. And a website that will hold all of the event information, ticket sales, details about sponsors, vendors, and educational materials. Of course, this website would be complete with our eHunter program to catch subscribers so we can solicit to them for future events. Beyond the Sea, a sustainable seafood festival, a blueprint for our better future. And of course, all this great creative needs a wonderful PR strategy to back it up. And with that, I'll pass things off to Grace.
All right, I'm excited to talk to you about the PR segment of the Beyond the Sea Seafood Festival, which would give it the voice that it definitely deserves. So our approach to public relations for the festival would be publicizing the festival and reaching our target markets of intergenerational, local, Central Coast, LA, and then our other secondary markets by employing a mix of traditional media, digital media, and social media for maximum impressions. A key component of that is the original content management. Sorry, can you hear me? Sorry, not used to the whole like microphone thing. I'm a little bit taller. To ensure future growth and foster a festival following, we are proposing a Beyond the Sea blog, which would be featured on the website. And the entire approach would be to humanize the festival a little bit, to promote engagement, and really put the spotlight on Morro Bay and building credibility back to the festival. So I have a copy of a press release here. We have a snippet. I also have a full version that I mocked up. You guys can take a look at that as well. I can pass that around. As far as media placement, landing editorial coverage continues to be effective publicity for festivals particularly. We propose press releases and media work with larger reach West Coast publications such as Alaska Airlines Magazine, Los Angeles Times Travel Section, Sunset, and Afar Magazine. We would be reaching them through press releases initially and then media relations work. Editorial coverage with these major publications would be coupled with local Central Coast coverage. Calendar and directory listings turned out to be quite an affordable advertising solution for the festival. We'd be maximizing advertising dollars by coordinating free calendar mentions in local media. And a strategic purchase of directory space in Travel Go California travel magazines, as well as Via Magazine. Oh, sorry, did I? Creating thoughtful, creative, original content will contribute to future growth and foster festival following through building publicity. Our idea for the Beyond the Sea blog would be featured on the website and to tell stories of behind the scenes of the festival. This would encourage Central Coast community involvement. Another idea for our blog was a spotlight on sustainable, which would be interview segments that would feature interviews with fishermen, chefs, environmentalists, people who would be at the festival. Our original content would aim to humanize it again and not only create better story angles for media coverage, but to boost community involvement and to boost sharing on social media. If yourself, a friend, or family member was interviewed for the festival, it is much more likely that you would attend yourself and tell more people about it and bring people. On to social marketing and our social media campaign for the festival. Social media marketing and festival publicity were basically made for each other. It could not be a better fit. So many festivals really just rely on social media by itself, but we would want to couple this with our traditional media and press releases to maximize our impressions and to reach that larger audience in our outlying areas. Event vibe is most clearly seen and shared through engaging digital platforms such as Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube would be highly useful in this situation. Our campaign leverages the power of social media and its value being free, but does not rely on it entirely. So during the event, we anticipate about 17%, pre-event 54%, and post-event 29% would be the breakdown of that. We have some examples of tweets that we would do pre-event. Our PR strategy is integrated, so every festival update, new sponsor, or participating vendors would be shared on social media as well as in press releases or media relations work with our local media. During tweets and posts for the event would consist of promotion of festival vendors. We have an example here. Responding to posts from festival sharers and sharing photos and encourage people to share their photos and their experience at the event. Post-event would be largely thank yous to sponsors, come back next year, stay in touch interactions that would be setting the stage for continuing the conversation throughout the year. And to keep us on track with our PR, we have a mock-up of a marketing calendar
would span about 4 months, and then also include the post-event PR, which is really important as well as far as press releases going out, and inviting a media advisory 5 to 7 days prior to invite journalists to come and cover the event. And I'm going to turn it back over to Michelle for our budget allocation.
In terms of our budget allocation, we pretty much see it divided into three categories. The $50,000 would be divided into the marketing category, that which would cover primarily our creative work, followed by our public relations category, which would represent dollars spent in paid directories, ad placement, project management, web forms, that sort of thing required. And finally, our e-solutions, data, and SEO needs for retargeting of banner ads, third-party list acquisitions, e-transmissions, and data analysis requirements. For a festival, this isn't a lot of money to work with, so our focus would also be on creating a unique three-tier sponsorship program with primary and contributing festivals for with primary and contributing festival sponsorship categories, in addition to selecting a regional radio sponsor. Obviously, year one, our sites might not translate to getting the sponsor we want, but we would begin that year with some kind of sponsorship that would pretty much give us the credibility to help us land that important sponsor that we really, really want that following year and subsequent years. The sponsors that we would be looking for would be involvement of people like Whole Foods, Monterey Bay Watch, the Tribune, Bay News, that sort of thing. In terms of metrics, how are we going to track our success? There's all kinds of different ways we can do this. Ticket sales, obviously, is one of the first things we might look at. Sponsor donations would be part of that. We would also benchmark how your list resources are growing in all areas, and that's something we can affect in a big way. Social media, the success of our Enter to Win contests. We also talked about benchmarking perhaps TOT tax year over year. Your website and the success of the sign-ups and all the automated web forms that we would be putting into place for you over time. Overall festival revenue. We also would be looking at seeing how we might influence crossover analysis through increased participation of your hospitality industry here in town to convince them to share their resources and cross over that analysis with Morro Bay tourism resources. We also would be looking at all of our email results that we produce. In summary, we would be looking at a marketing mix of social media, print media, web marketing, public relations, and increasing your web presence. I feel that hospitality marketing is a wonderful fit for Morro Bay. I feel that we can make a major impact on improving your marketing foundation. And most importantly, I think we bring partnership at its best to the table. Again, we have forged such long relationships with the clients we serve. We feel that we could do the same thing for year over year, expanding the platform and providing you with the metrics that will become a new guiding light for you, with the ability to really propel forward your efforts year over year. Our goal as a team would be to put Money in the Bank and Morro Bay on the map. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. So if you can stick around, we're going to have some questions from the full board. I'm going to go ahead and start at the end. Jane, I'm going to come to you last just because I know you had that delay. Aaron, questions, comments?
So it seems to me from your presentation that you were really focusing on the sustainability aspect of it, less about the food with the ocean and so forth. Do you feel that that is the best direction to take it and focusing less on the cuisine? Or what are your thoughts? How did you come to that decision then?
As far as sustainability goes right now, it's really a trending topic. Everyone's really into environmental friendly activities. And if in this scenario, we were able, if we focus on the sustainability section of it rather than just the seafood, we were able to bring in a lot more to offer to the festival rather than it just be about food. It was much more of a family environment. There was opportunities if we were to get sponsors from an aquarium or something that could come and do educational, you know, activities with children. There's plenty of opportunities for local artisans to showcase their sustainable work that they've made. It just broadens the horizon for activities that could happen at this festival.
I also would like to add that humanizing the festival was also a very important piece of what we presented today, which really ties together with educating the public about sustainability and the need for families to also have a vehicle from which to introduce sustainability to their children.
Mm-hmm. It was a different take. The other vendors are really focused on the cuisine aspect, so this was refreshing, and I thought that was unique. Thank you.
Joan?
I'll stand it down to Joan.
So, first of all, I want to say your imaging is beautiful. It's really very, very clean. It's very compelling, and it meets the mark of being very modern and on the forefront of digital imagery. So I want to definitely compliment you on that. I immediately when we got to the images, I cranked my head over there and thought to myself, wow, those are beautiful, very compelling, and very much a call to action, like an image speaks a thousand words. I know that's an old cliche, but really, you know, it does. So in terms of Morro Bay's, we have a trademark brand. The brand is Discover Your Better Nature. That's a trademark brand. We are using a curtailed version of that, which is the Discover, which you've seen our Discover logo, Discover Morro Bay. In that, and I know this is an imaginary festival, right? It's this imaginary thing that we're working on. How would you then tie a festival like this, the Sustainable Seafood Festival, into the real brand of Discover Morro Bay? How would you pull those two together? And I know that's kind of a broad question and kind of off the cuff and difficult to answer, but maybe just some top of mind thoughts, that's all.
An example that comes directly to mind that we almost did in the presentation was the ads for like the lampposts. We had one that you could have the Morro Bay Tourism. Those ads would be Morro Bay Tourism, and then just have the hashtag of Beyond the Sea on that. So that would integrate the two really easily. I think the fact that we made the brand, the whole branding and the imagery just speak really well to the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau brand, that they would complement on a number of marketing materials really easily.
Okay. Thank you.
Taylor?
Yeah, I have a few comments, actually. First of all, I'm a little bit prejudiced because you guys all came to my largest sponsor business this morning for coffee and pastries. I was in my gorilla uniform, so you didn't notice me, but I watched you very I knew you were in town for some reason, and we're preparing. And so I have a little bit of observational data. And I wanted to add, I have a board of directors for the organization I work for, and one of my founding board members works in San Francisco as an IT project manager, business analyst for investment, banking, and securities. And he went over all of the presentation, not just for today, but the other ones as well from the previous meeting we had for our own organization. And he gave me responses on everybody. He's very, very thorough. You were actually his favorite. Because of your quality, which I think I saw today in your data presentation and your picture presentation, as well as
I heard you specifically talk about security for data, which is so important to him, and I rarely hear anybody else in my world down here talk about that, but I'm from Northern California, and the professionalism, and it reminds me of my previous work in bigger cities, and I recognize that with you. I also wanted to point out that when I look at marketing Morro Bay, there's things that have been successful here always. We love big festivals with drinking and food. You know, that's been really successful for Morro Bay. But what's the future of Morro Bay? This morning there was an excellent article on the moves that our city staff is making with the aquarium. And I immediately, in seeing your presentation today, would see how that would play so well into the modern future of Morro Bay. When we're looking at getting, you know, we have loyal customers that come to Morro Bay. And that's because of what we've presented in the past. If we want to add new customers that don't know about Morro Bay, we need to think about outside of the box we're currently doing, which is what I saw in your presentation. I have a degree in ecology systematic biology from Cal Poly, so the sustainability and biology aspect of market of events and such things is really huge for me. So I was impressed. I did have some concerns. You know, I'm a fan right now. And some of my concerns, though, is that currently in Morro Bay, when we do events and stuff like that, like, alcohol and food is really important for the success of the event. And maybe in 4 years when we have an aquarium and stuff like that, and we're in that direction with more impact with Cal Poly and that kind of stuff, this would play out better. But right now, when we're struggling with events, you know, we still need the success of the food and alcohol. I mean, it's the way it is. So you have to remember, like, that's the way Morro Bay is right now, and we're going into the future, and I do think we're an evolved community, and I'm going to fight for that always. But I just, what's your response to that? Like, the food, similar to Aaron, I guess, but in my experience working in the event industry, which is the biggest way we raise funds for our organization, how would you play the sustainability aspect into the success of the event to reach the numbers that you were talking about? Right now, we would need more of a focus on alcohol and food. So how would you play those two together to get like 25,000 people in 4 years?
Our focus for a theme does not undermine the importance of food and beverage. It is a festival. And the theme would carry and would sell the activities, events, and experiences the public will have when they come to this festival. Food is going to be very, very important. And it's going to be showcased on the tweets, on the social shares, because we're humanizing it. We're having your restaurateurs in your community. We're sharing them with potential prospects. And that's what we were referring to by humanizing the festival. It is going to be very much about food and drink. However, it's also about other things. We discuss things like You, Me, and the Sea, a children's sector, something that we didn't include in today's presentations. Our ideas are abounding in terms of the direction you can take to make this festival much more than just walking down the Embarcadero, eating and drinking. It's about more. It's activity filled that will fill the heart and continue to make people come back year over year.
Okay, Jane, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, do you have any questions, comments, feedback?
Well, one of the things that I have always actually been, I've noticed how rapid everything moves in every business, and it's because technology moves. And so it's almost like a sense of excitement within the industry. So we have to be there moving, be excited, get on the bandwagon, do this, do that. Data comes after, not usually before, because we have to test the waters. And you need to be excited. I need to be catched. I need colorful. I don't want static images. With the social media, the most important social media being YouTube and, you know, videos, you know, even on our websites, our own marketing people are telling us get videos on there. I'm a little surprised that you didn't send anything like that. And I'm disappointed that you didn't because it made me feel that the presentation was stoic and not up to date, and I just didn't have any call to action. And I'm sorry, I'm known on the board of being pretty blunt, and so I apologize to you.
Okay.
But that's my initial reaction, and I'm disappointed. So I just didn't feel modern. I didn't really feel a part of it. I think, you know, it's like I almost would want to say, hey, go back to the drawing board and bring me something else that'll just move me. But this was your chance, as any marketing man would say. This was your time. So I'm not going to say any more. Thank you.
Thanks, Jane, for your bluntness, as we always appreciate. Okay. I will say I thought the creative was really fresh. I agree with these guys. I thought it was really nice. We haven't seen a lot of data brought up, and I think you guys were very strong on the data side. I do agree with Jane. You get data after the fact, but you do need to do some data before, so it is important to do some data before. So, and I did see kind of a strong focus on families, which is great. I think that's wonderful, but also Morro Bay is a little more than just about families, so I would hope that we would broaden that out. But I thought overall, and it did seem very based on the festival, instead of, I think some of the other ones were a little bit more broader, but I thought it was a great presentation. I really love the visuals and I appreciate you guys kind of coming out. I know you had to travel. You're good. I'm done. You had to travel far from Monterey. Hopefully you enjoyed Morro Bay and hopefully we'll see you back in here. And, I don't think I have any other questions or comments. So, I think we're all set. We'll move it forward from here unless you guys have anything else you want to add. We had about three minutes left.
From our standpoint, constructive criticism is always great, but we are a highly visual company, and today was an example of what we can produce visually. And of course, themes can be altered. So if there was concerns that this visual campaign didn't exactly fit what might be wanted, this is the team you can work with to alter that, and we are confident that working with you on any event and or purpose, that we can help you nail it every time.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so now we're going to move over. I think the process for us today, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, is we're going to make a recommendation.
Go ahead, Ryan. Well, if you guys want to have discussion, you can definitely discuss. It's really up to the board whether or not you want to make a recommendation today. But essentially, it would be making a recommendation that would move forward. So, I mean, you guys have time to discuss if you want to discuss the candidates. If you guys, again, want to have time to be able to think about it and then come back, you can definitely do that. So I definitely, Madam Chair, I would definitely poll the board to find out how you guys want to move forward with this.
Okay, so I'm just going to kind of poll us. Me personally, I will say I'd like us to move forward, make a recommendation, and get going. But I'll roll call, poll everybody on what their two cents on, whether we want to ponder on all of this and then come back as a future agenda item, or if we want to go ahead and make a recommendation. And my understanding would be we'd recommend to the TBID board, then the TBID board would recommend to council.
That's going to have to be the way it's going.
Okay.
There's an echo in that process then, but okay.
Right.
Because of the two boards at this point.
That's
The TBID advisory board is this council's advisory board, and so that's the board you're going to want to have make that recommendation to council.
Sure.
Okay, so Jane, would you like to, what would be your two cents on making a recommendation today or postponing this?
I'm ready.
Aaron?
Let's discuss and make a recommendation.
Joan?
Excuse me. We need to do it today. You're going to have a board member next month who hasn't seen any of these presentations.
Yeah. we kind of have a quorum, but Taylor, 2 cents.
I'm ready to go.
Okay.
Madam Chairwoman, really quick.
Yeah.
This has been said today, and it's actually not your fault, but it was bugging me. So I looked up the budget. I think there was a misstatement in the previous council meeting. Property tax is actually higher than TOT, so which means we have a lot of opportunity to continue to try to meet that. So just as a note, property tax is actually about $3.8 million, and TOT was about $2.8 million.
Okay.
So we still got room to grow.
Awesome. Perfect. Thank you, Sam, for clarifying that. Okay, so I think the way we'll kind of go about this is we'll just kind of pull everybody across the board on their 2 cents on each of the three proposals, and then we can all hopefully come to a consensus on where we want to move forward. So I'm going to start down at the end with you, Aaron. I know you're the newbie, but I'm going to start with you.
I'm the newbie. I'll go right for it. I thought that Verdin Marketing, we do have, I guess, a long-standing medium-standing relationship with them, so I want to respect the efforts they've done. Without even seeing the two following candidates, I was just left with nothing, frankly. The food products, when I asked about that, there was no real tie into Morro Bay in the food choices that they did. If you look at them, a lot of Trader Joe's products, there was not really a tie into sustainability either. So I thought that was a missed opportunity. I liked their energy there, but it just didn't seem to do it. And then the logo and so forth, everything did not seem to represent a progressive city. All personal opinions. It is this big, was phenomenal. It was catchy. Now, one of my questions, being the new guy here with mental marketing, is that was a great campaign. The colors are great. It's catchy, viral potential. Did they just get lucky this one time, and how was their follow-up down the line? Can they maintain this level of creativity? Because they may have just hit a home run. We buy in, and this is not a sustainable pace for them. Can I get feedback from others on that with mental marketing?
Do you want me to chime in?
Be candid, yes. A real discussion.
Yeah, no, for sure. On a PR standpoint, we do see the creativity across the board. That has been how they have actually helped this organization over the last 18 months. Prior to that, they were actually the creative group they had a partnership program with TJA Advertising. One of the biggest complications and hurdles that, as the director, that I had to get over is that I wasn't impressed with the creative, like the actual creative itself.
Okay.
And so that was one of the biggest challenges. The creative actually really fell flat. But I can honestly say, on a PR standpoint, and how this is just my own opinion working with them, that there was a lot of thoughtfulness as far as like within the campaign, the colors that they chose, etc. I still have some concerns. That was actually in my notes with some of the creative, and it can get cluttered. And sometimes it's a matter of, I see this even happening with some of the press releases where they want to pack so much into it. So I think it would just be a matter of if it was a recommendation for mental marketing, that I think that there still would need to be some coaching as far as like keeping it cleaner and keeping it more simple.
I would agree.
So
I didn't think it was tremendously. It was a good campaign, but it was just the creativeness of it was phenomenal. It was a bit cluttered. It could be cleaned up. So my concern with them would be just continuing to do so year over year and create these great campaigns.
They are very consistent as far as their creativity. I will honestly say that in working with them.
Okay. The last presenter, Hospitality Marketing Associates, extremely clean visuals, very, very modern. If our goal is to bring Morro Bay into the next generation, really appeal to Gen Xers and the millennials, I think their visuals are outstanding. I don't know really, their creativity seemed to be lacking, though. In this particular campaign, I was left very dry, nothing going there. So really, from a digital media perspective, I think Hospitality Marketing could be phenomenal. They'd probably just do it regularly. It'd be a lot of base hits over and over again with a clean campaign, but I don't think there'd be the potential to put Morro Bay on the map with the same level of creativity that mental marketing brought to the table.
Great. Aaron, Joan, ready? Aaron, Jane.
I'm sorry. That was lengthy.
Okay, so in terms of Verdin, in terms of Verdin, you know, it was overall a continuation of what they're doing for us now, with grabbing the concept of a seafood festival and developing that. I saw them, they already knew our brand very well, and they were able to tie our current brand into that because they were already out of the starting block. I'm not sure they would have had that success. Well, I can't say that. I don't, you know that everybody else was in the same starting block that they were in terms of that position. So I just want to be very clear with that. That's why I had those questions about branding, bringing it in for the last two and not for the first one. But again, I would say that it's very similar to the campaigns they're doing for us now. It was great. It was on target. It was a continuation. In terms of mental marketing, I have the same questions that I think Aaron had, is, you know, and you've answered those for me. I'm wondering why, if mental marketing and Verdin have been working together kind of as a team for Morro Bay, why they're splitting now and both are trying to take the entire pie instead of having a piece of the pie working together. Can you clarify that for me?
It makes much more business sense because we are paying them separately. So that's, you know, honestly, okay. You want to be able to wrap it up. And mm-hmm. This is something that I'm actually very impressed with both Verdin as well as mental marketing. They completely understand why we want to bring it under one umbrella. Mm-hmm. There are opportunities that get missed when you're working with two different agencies.
Right.
And so they both recognize and saying, and they feel like it's the best direction for the organization and the destination.
Okay. So in terms of the mental marketing campaign, if we all held hands and Taylor stuck his left hand out, and Aaron stuck his right hand out, I think that the campaign was that big for us up here. we Taylor, everyone hold hands. That is where we're at. We cracked up. I mean, we cracked up. And there's nothing that makes a human being feel better than either being loved, laughing out loud, or eating good food. You know, we all like those things. And they hit on the eating good food, going with your loved ones somewhere, and cracking you up. And I think that in terms of the campaign concept, that was the home run in the room. The concept was terrific. The visuals and that kind of stuff, yeah, I think that can be focused in and worked on. And it's interesting, Michelle and I remember a time when mental marketing worked for TJA Advertising Agency and did their creative for them. And the thing that our community liked most about it was that they used locals in the campaign. So our community loved the campaign, but it was really still very busy. And it was just a very busy campaign at that time, much more so than now. Now moving on to HMA, they have a very clean. Their visuals by far were the best, you know, most crisp, most modern, you know, very Facebook, very YouTube visuals that meet the millennials and the X-Geners right in the target spot, right in the sweet spot, right? And I loved that about their campaign. I just didn't feel energy from it. And I also, in the bottom of my heart, I felt like they really didn't understand our community. I have to tell you, the Monterey Bay Seafood Watch thing, I mean, you would see the Alma come through the door and anchor in the room if we had Monterey Bay Seafood Watch overlook our festival. Somehow that ship would be resurrected and it would be over here. I mean, we have to work with our fishing community here. And they're already under pressure with NOAA and whatnot, and they have sustainable guidelines that they meet. And I wanted to see more about Morro Bay's fishing community, I think. And so that was important to me, that was a miss for me that I didn't see. And that their energy, they didn't have that. We're a very energetic city and a little town, and I wanted to see more energy out of that. So that's my my take, and so there you go.
Taylor?
I heard my notes.
I have Verdin as my standard slow go-to status quo. I have mental marketing as the Harborfest LA style that I'm used to when I came down here to go to college in this, what I consider Southern California, being from Northern California. And when I look at a global presence over the next 5 years, the NorCal, you know, that educated quality that you see from the Bay of HMA, that's where I think if it was my personal decision for me and my company, that's who I'd go with.
Jane, you're on. 2 cents. Are you there? Miss Beeman? Jane?
Oh. There you go. Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. Okay, I was going to say I'll take my turn, but go ahead.
Sorry about that.
No, you're okay. So go ahead. Your 2 cents.
Well, then we're gonna go to vote. I look at Morro Bay right now as a car and idle. And it's just idling. And we need to be jump-started. I'm a huge fan of mental marketing. I think they do have the creative eye. I think that all of our marketing sources that we've done, like Bearden, mental marketing, and even when John Sorgenfrey was there, they were managed by somebody else. So they couldn't do everything that they wanted. That could be a fault at sometimes on our side. I agree with one marketing entity to do marketing and PR. I think the mental marketing was articulate. I mean, if we want a marketing person standing in front of a group and to boost us and tell somebody why invest in Morro Bay, there's only one group up there that would have been able to get a sponsorship for us, and that was mental marketing. They have the visuals, they have the creative, they're articulate, they have their own energy that they give to everybody else. I agree that NorCal did not understand our community. It was a snoozer. I'm ready to take the vote right now if you guys are on the recommendation.
Okay, I'm going to say my 2 cents because I'm chair, but I'll be quick, and then Brent's going to have 2 cents. You know, I agree. I'll just go over real quick. Don't get me wrong, Verdin's done a good job, but I do agree. Somebody said status quo. I think they're just kind of getting us along with what we've done. Mental marketing hit a home run for me. They got all my senses going. I loved how they brought the poster boards in. They were the only ones that brought in some visuals with the poster boards. I think, you know, we can critique and say 2 cents on any one of them. We would change a little bit. But I love that they had the budget in there. I thought the creative was great. I also loved the month campaign. They were the only ones that did it for a month. And to me, I like that. I think that's big. I think a couple things we need to focus and keep tabs on are that simple, clean, creative ad. The target markets and niche targeting wasn't too much on there, too. We need to be a little careful with that. I'm really into to focusing on more niche marketing, so I think we need to keep them. But, you know, that's our job, is to keep them in line with what we want. But to me, hands down, you know, and I would love to see the day to have mental marketing do everything. I've lived the TJA days when they worked with TJA and then they worked with Verdin. They've always been, to me, always professional for all the years I worked with them under CPC days, and even now under the Bureau. I've thought they've always done a great job. They know Morro Bay. I think that's huge. We are a weird, quirky community with a lot of different nuances, and I feel like they get that and they understand that, and I think that's really important. You know, HMA, they brought a couple things with the data. They had beautiful visuals, and I think with Verdin it was kind of, you know, just plugging along. So to me, hands down, it's mental marketing as well. I just think they really hit it. And, you know, going in, I think somebody said something about the sustainability and the creative. I think we run that issue anybody you have. Anybody can come in and put on a great creative. Can the next one be just as good? And that's why we sign them on for a year or year and a half. We don't have them for life. We make them be fresh. We make them stay fresh every year. You know, for me, it's definitely mental. Brent, you've got 2 cents, and then we'll get this show on the road and go for a vote.
I do, because I didn't want to indicate this to influence, you know, any of you know, the feedback that you guys have actually provided today. But I actually provided to each of the agencies a 30-minute consultation. They could ask me about anything about what was actually presented today. They could ask me about any feedback as far as, like, data, specifically to the agencies that we currently work with now. You know, both of them actually took advantage of that 30-minute consultation to find out, because there were pain points. You know, in working with them over the last 18 months, there's definitely pain points. And so we addressed those things. But HMA also had that opportunity, and they didn't take that opportunity. They had an opportunity to have a 30-minute consultation to find out a little bit more about Morro Bay, and they didn't take advantage of that opportunity. And they had that ability to do that. So, you know, and I didn't want to influence, and, you know, I definitely, you know, give credit to Taylor. One of the things about HMA that I really did like is that I think that they understand strategy, and I think they understand how to develop a strategy and to execute a successful and professional strategy. That's what I really did like, and I think a lot of them don't really talk about the data end of it, and ultimately in the end we do have to, data is the thing that we have to be able to go back and report. I have like different nuances too as far as like, you know, what I liked, what I didn't like. I thought that Verdin was very clever when it came to talking about Periscope and the whole idea about the bus. I thought that was very, very clever, I think, doing the bags and getting the senses. But I do agree with Aaron, there was a lot of misses, and I think that's one of the things that I've really been talking to them about in my experience working with them, that we can't continue doing these misses. It is my job, and I'm accountable, and so a lot of times I'm filling in where the misses are actually happening. So I think ultimately I think they're definitely very professional. When it comes to mental marketing, I think very clever. Again, we work with them on a PR standpoint, and I think that they've always been spot on as far as like bringing their creativity to the table. They do know Morro Bay. I think that's definitely a benefit. The pain point, I will tell you, that has been why they weren't the marketing and PR agency in the last 18 months came down to creative. Didn't love their creative. Their creative fell flat. That has been talked about time and time again. Being too cluttered, having too much text, that has been talked about too. So, I mean, I saw some of those same examples here today. So I really did want to point that out. That has been a discussion over the last 18 months, is that there have been some huge concerns as far as like the creative. But they have been consistent as far as like their creativity. And that could definitely be a huge benefit. HMA, again, I think the one thing that, you know, perhaps that their presentation fell flat to me because there wasn't a lot of energy. I don't want to see somebody like read off their presentation throughout the whole time. That didn't impress me at all. But I think one of the things that they did bring to the table that wasn't brought to the table from the other agencies was the fact with the other partnerships. I think bringing in the sponsorships and the other partnerships, there might have been a little bit of a miss as far as that, but they don't know Morro Bay. And that's, you know, that's a part of our job to try to get them a little bit more familiar as far as that. I did see some misses, and I had a question mark as far as like Alaska Airlines. I'm like, they don't even fly into the regional airport in San Luis Obispo. They do fly into Fresno, and they do have a hub with Fresno. So I just, but I thought that the mission statement, and I thought that they were very thoughtful as far as like how they came about their take on the actual festival itself. So, I mean, to me, I wish I could take parts of each of the agencies and roll it up into one, but unfortunately we can't. So, anyway, so that's my 2 cents worth.
Okay, so seeing that, I'll look for a motion from the board to throw something out there, guys.
Are we motioning to take a vote?
Yes.
Okay, then I would like to make a motion that we make a vote right now to decide who will be our agency as we move forward.
But are you
recommending someone? Oh, I have to, and I would... just laugh at the new guy.
So I'm with the new guy.
And
the new
so
guy
my
is
motion,
a friend.
My motion then is that we proceed forward with mental marketing.
There you go.
Do I get a second?
You got a second, yeah.
I'll get a second.
Jane just seconded that.
Okay.
So we have a motion on the table with a first and a second. Any further discussion?
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know if I missed this part, but with us moving forward, this being the... Yeah. So we're just making a recommendation to TBID.
We are recommending to TBID, correct.
Right. And then TBID's going to recommend
to City
staff.
Council.
To council
and staff.
And yes. Staff. So you'll be present for all of that. Sam, I'm talking to now.
Yes.
Okay. So for me.
This could be vetoed and this could all.
No. That's my thing is like as long as Sam is for me next, because now with the change, it's really important that he's sitting here just like we are. Okay. I'm ready to vote on mental marketing. That's not who I want to go with.
Any further discussion?
Yep, I have a question. Sam, Taylor brought up a good point. We're making a recommendation to the TBID board. TBID board makes a recommendation to the city. Will the city be seeing all three of these presentations again so that the city council can decide, or will they just be looking at our recommendation?
What we can do is we can encourage the city council members to watch this meeting, and I will do that. I'm happy to do that because I thought that it was very valuable to see that. It's important for them to do that as well. At the same time, you are, as the TBID advisory board, you are their advisory board. They are relying on you to come up to do the heavy lifting here through this process and making a recommendation. They are relying on the expert opinion of professional staff in Brent, and so they have... As I've seen from this current council, they do watch these meetings. They do a lot of prep for that stuff. It's up to them how they want to do it. We can't control it, but I'm absolutely happy to recommend that they watch it because this is very educational, very valuable. I will also note that, obviously, this process is highly subjective when you talk about marketing and creative. And I'm saying that particularly for the community as well because you'll never get 100% agreement, as we already know from it, because Taylor's going to say no here in a second. You'll never get 100% agreement on creative or ideas. And so a big one for me that I wanted to mention to you before this is how your professional staff will be able to work with whoever you choose, because in the long run, for 2 years, it's the staff that's going to have to work day-to-day with these folks. And so I think you've gotten some input on how it will go.
So I just want to go back and... say that I really appreciate everything that Verdin Marketing has done, and that I felt like the last one, HMA, was very visually compelling, and I thought that the campaign in the middle from Mental Marketing was the best campaign. Having said that, we've had a lot of experience with this, and that very professional, visually compelling campaign. We had a company previously, BCA Advertising, who put out very professional, compelling campaigns. We jokingly referred to them as the Nordstrom of marketing in San Luis Obispo County, because that was the type of very clean campaign they ran. And that did not go over very well with our community. It went over very well with our consumers, but did not go over very well with our community. So it's interesting because Taylor brings up a very good point. And so, I just wanted to say that. I'm ready to vote.
Okay. All in favor, I'm going to roll call us with Jane. All in favor, Jane.
Yes.
Aaron.
Yes.
Joan.
Yes.
Michelle. Yes.
No.
Taylor, no. Okay, so we have a 4-1 vote in favor of Mental Marketing. So congratulations to Mental Marketing. This will be a recommendation that will be going to TBID that will then move on to City Council. So there is no done deal, but just so everybody's clear, that's what we are recommending.
Your next TBID meeting is?
I don't know. I'll have to get back to you on that. Okay. I don't have a calendar in front of me. We'll probably have it next month, probably February. That's something Sam and I are going to work out, and Brent are going to work out this transition of moving forward, and that'll be a future agenda item I'll talk about when we get down to future agenda items. Okay, so we have finished marketing and PR companies. We will now move on to the budget subcommittee meeting report.
I have to leave. Michelle, I have to leave.
Okay, sounds good, Jane. Thank you for your time. Thank you for being there while you're out of town. I appreciate it.
Bye, Janie.
Okay, so I will turn this over to Taylor. He has our subcommittee report on the budget subcommittee. We met January 7th.
Yeah, we had a very productive meeting on January 7th. And we looked over all the numbers and came up with what we agreed would be, it was a unanimous agreement, I believe, on what we thought we should move forward with. Okay, let's see. The budget subcommittee was tasked and met on Thursday, January 7th, 2016, to review revenues, expenses, and unbudgeted expenses, to evaluate the current financial standing and where the organization is expected to be at the end of the year. Is the goal of this subcommittee to review and make recommendations to the full board on any changes to the 2015-16 budget? To provide a full picture of the budget and the implications on estimating where their revenues will be at the end of the fiscal year, the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau Executive Director, Brent Hagen, created 10 revenue assessment scenarios for the committee to review. Included in the scenarios was the actual assessment dollars collected this fiscal year. The remaining numbers in the scenarios reflected last year's assessment numbers from the City of Morro Bay report. Hagen also provided the current bank balance, updated alternative revenue streams, and anticipated expenses that will impact the overall budget for the remainder of the year. After reviewing all the scenarios and much discussion, the subcommittee was in agreement that revenues would be flat December, January, and February due to the current weather patterns, rain. There was a debate about March, but Haugen was optimistic that group business opportunities will positively influence business and revenue for March. The second part of the meeting was to discuss the unbudgeted items that will impact this year's fiscal budget. These items also impact the revenue conversion. The following items have been discussed or suggested in previous board meetings to be included in this year's budget cycle. These items include $20,000 for the 2016 OWAC conference, $11,000 for the complimentary rooms for Amgen, up to $11,000 actually, $3,500 for the commercial for Amgen and other uses, $1,500 for the Bay Area Travel Writers February Board Retreat, and $50,000 for event grant support. Before the final recommendation was decided, the subcommittee reviewed these items against current budget. If the full board approves these additions, the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau Executive Director will be tasked to adjust the budget to incorporate these items. In the end, the budget subcommittee is recommending to the full board to add the unbudgeted items as presented in this document, plus a budget adjustment increase of $24,543.20 by adopting scenario number 2. You can see that in the attachments of the 2015-16 assessment budget review document.
Just one correction. It should be up to 16,000 and not up to 11,000. My error. Sorry.
Up to 16,000, not 11 for the complimentary rooms for Amgen.
And that was something the board had already agreed on, was the 16,000. We just have to put it in the budget.
Can you tell me who's on the budget subcommittee?
On the budget subcommittee is Michelle, myself, and Aaron.
Okay, great. So we're up to speed here, except for me. So.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Agreed. So yeah, you're right. Joan's got it. Yes, please do.
It's okay. So I guess I'm the only one with questions. Do you know? And this one's for Director Haugen. If you can please tell me where you think we're at on the complimentary rooms for Amgen in terms of a number so far.
You know, right now, as far as like the number of rooms consumed, it's actually under 10. 10 rooms at I've been able to negotiate a rate at $89 plus the applicable taxes.
Ooh,
so we're at about like 102, somewhere around there. So we've only consumed like around 10 rooms. I think we're at about 9. The bulk of the rooms, Joan, will actually be the day before the actual event itself, which is 80 rooms at the Days Inn and La Serena, respectively. the additional, when it comes to the 120 rooms, it's really a matter of when staff are actually coming in. Now, at the Amgen meeting that happened yesterday, we are going to be starting to see staff coming in more regularly over the next number of months up to the actual event itself. A lot of it's based around the logistics. They need to come to make sure that, you know, where the parking and where the tents are going to be set up and et cetera. So yesterday's meeting, nobody actually stayed within Morro Bay because they were traveling from Monterey to Morro Bay and then down to Thousand Oaks. So essentially the other additional 40 rooms are kind of in question. So, The 80 rooms most likely will be consumed the day prior to the actual event.
Okay. And the event grant support. I have had several emails regarding event grant support and what happens during the changeover, and will some of the, you know, general fund money be going towards event grant support and all that. That's future. I've been telling folks we have no idea. So explain this event grant support system to me and where that's going so that I can just have an understanding.
Well, that is something that we are going to have to talk about as far as like with city. In previous meetings, board has actually talked about increasing the amount. Currently, we have $10,000 dedicated to supporting community events, but there hasn't been a mechanism to be able to facilitate the distribution of those funds. You know, the board has actually obviously been busy focusing on other topics and issues that have been coming up. So ultimately, there was a discussion about, you know, funneling some more dollars into the event grant support. I would love to see a matching grant program that would be realized yet and talked about amongst the board and in agreeance to the city to be able to facilitate yet this year, because we're actually coming up. The clock is actually ticking, and essentially this last grant program went from March 1st. It went from March to end of February. So we actually have some events that they don't know if there's going to be event funding available or not.
That's
so,
right.
And it is a bigger discussion.
If I could add to that really quick, just as a note, obviously right now you're still a bureau. We're going to be working on transition. There's been talk about trying to maybe do that faster because it might just help the process go along better. But I wanted to point out that the TBIT Advisory Board will now also have the opportunity to discuss what to do with an additional $60,000 this upcoming fiscal year from the general fund, which is going to be used specifically to continue to assist with tourism operations and marketing. Maybe it's for grants. But the board at a future meeting will have a good opportunity to discuss how you want to work with that 60 grand. And then the next year it'll be 60 plus whatever the additional 20% TOT increase is. So over this five-year period, you're going to be able to include additional funding in your budget above and beyond TBIT assessment, and that you will then obviously do that as part of that. So you probably want to have a discussion at one of your upcoming TBIT meetings about the as you work on the marketing plan and recommendation to council and your budget recommendation to council along with the annual report. This 60 grand will be wrapped into that, so you have an opportunity to add that to your budget.
Perfect. Okay, Taylor, I see you have a comment.
I do. Just a small comment. I had on the budget thing, I'm going to just keep on bringing it up because I've been requested to, but I had brought up at our last meeting that I had a project that I had a question about how we could possibly talk about funding for lighting trees in the downtown area through the tourism, the TBID, the bid process. And I'd also had a new one that I was supposed to bring up today about the Maritime Museum and the San Salvador project, how they would apply for money through the TBID. So both of those things would somehow lie into budget. Maybe it's the 60,000, I don't know, but both of those items have been presented to me to bring forward to this group.
So just for related to TBID assessed funds and TBID in the future for tree lighting, your city code that you operate under for that is fairly specific to how the dollars can be spent. Infrastructure is really not one of those things at this time. That's actually a different segment of state law that will allow you to kind of prop up the destination. But you're right, again, the $60,000 could be part of that. Now, permanent tree lighting is fairly expensive, we learned. We actually just had a staff meeting about that the other day. I believe the last time we shopped it was about $17,000 per block. So it's a hefty price tag, but city staff is also aware of it too, and we'll keep talking about that because the TBIT is going to have a great opportunity to continue to talk about the not only the promotion of the destination, but the destination itself. What I always talk about, because we always want to retain the quaint and funky feel of Morro Bay, but we also want to make sure it's not crumbling, and we want to keep doing that. So,
And I think this is a great example of some of the advantages of working together now is Sam's going to be able to bring that information of the infrastructure of tree lighting. I know Joan had done some research before, too, when she was with the 50th, of what those costs are. We're not going to have to tax ourselves with that. We're going to already have some of that information there. So I think this would be a future agenda item for sure and something we can add as a future agenda item.
So, okay.
Back to budget.
So back to budget. Thank you. And, right, in terms of future budget, to me, the $60,000 that Sam referenced, the spending for that needs to come out. It needs to be community driven. Probably needs to come out through the community workshop process. Let the community drive how their tax revenue is spent, whether they want a shop local campaign, which I've heard a lot about, or whether they want shop in Morro Bay, here's the benefit education, or
you're
whether they
off topic.
Yes,
sorry.
I'm sorry, event, whatever. So, you know, but it does pertain to budget. So, and then let's see here. The commercial for Amgen, I thought we were partnering on that one with the county. Are they partnering on that one with us anymore?
No, that was never in the discussion. We have the opportunity to do a commercial.
Okay.
And so I've had an initial conversation with a vendor to produce a commercial where it would be exploration by bike in Morro Bay.
Okay.
Where it wouldn't be just used for Amgen, but it would also be used for other purposes.
Okay. All right. So those were my questions.
So I will look for a motion to move forward with the recommendations from the subcommittee.
So moved.
I second that motion.
Okay. We have any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, we'll go for a vote. I'm not going to roll call because Jane is not online anymore, so I'll go for an original vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Nope.
None. Motion carries 4-0.
Yay.
Okay.
Thank you for a very nice committee report.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, for staff. Thank you. Yes. Okay, so now we'll move on to board announcements. Aaron, any board announcements?
Not at this time.
Joan?
I do, one moment, want to say thank you to the City of Morro Bay and to all the previous board members. We've had, over the last 6 years, a number of board members. I think they've been a very dynamic group of, you know, Morro Bay citizens and hoteliers who really care about a strategic plan for branding and keeping tourism alive here in Morro Bay. It's a huge economic driver for our community, supports so many projects here, supports city staff and revenue, which, you know, in turn keeps the fire department moving to your house if you trip and fall and break a wrist, which I didn't have the fire department come out, but I could have. So I just like to thank especially Mike Casola, some of our founding board members, Val Seymour, Mike Casola, John Myers, Fred, who was here for a while, Roger, Jane, who's not here right now, but who was off and on, and Alex, who and Nick Mendoza, who, as a citizen, sat on this board for about 5 years and really worked his tail feathers off, and so did John. And so thank you so much to our professional staff that we have, Brent. It's been an interesting process seeing Morro Bay really kind of grasp this very, I would say, forward-thinking process of having a TBID. It's been interesting and fun. I think it's been highly, largely successful in terms of figures and revenue to the City of Morro Bay. And, you know, I think it's brought in new hoteliers like Aaron to our mix, you know, because, wow, Morro Bay is a successful place to do business. I want to be there, right? So just want to thank everybody for all the support, our partners and the restaurants and our partners in recreation over the years. And I sure hope you keep that partnership alive. And, guys, in terms of you all, over the next few months, I'd love to see you make it be your goal to have 80% of the budget touch the consumer directly. 80% of the budget should be direct touch to the consumer in terms of marketing, that people are laying their eyes on information to Morro Bay. That's always been our goal, drive the market to Morro Bay, whether it's day travelers that come today. Day travelers are great because they come back tomorrow and they bring a family and have a family reunion. Don't ever forget that. So they are important to us, and thanks so much for your time.
Chairperson, if I could really quick, on behalf of the city, I just want to say thank you so much for your participation, Joan. I've said this to you before in private, but I want to say it on camera. The amount of volunteerism you've done on this board is immense and amazing, and we really appreciate it and hope you'll continue to be involved. You told me that you'll be mad at me if I don't continue to keep in contact, so I will do that. And so thank you again from the entire city. Your participation has been this big, so thank you.
Yeah, I love it. Taylor, board announcement.
I already did the announcement that I want to do about the tree lighting and the San Salvador project for the Maritime Museum. I'll keep on bringing those up until you stop me. And then I wanted to just point at Joan and just tell you that, you know, from 2009 when I started getting involved with the city, there's been a few people, Jamie Irons, Noah Smuckler, Carla Borchard, Joan Solu, Joe Woods, Andrea Luker, who have been, John Weiss, that formed who I am and why I'm here today and what I'm doing, Tim Olivas, and without mentors like you, young people like me wouldn't be here to replace you. And I just, you know, you're a mom to me, and I can't tell you how much I love you.
You know, and I'll just back into that too. Joan, thank you. Yeah, I almost want to cry. I have worked with her from the beginning. I'm not kidding. I'm going to try not to. You've been an amazing mentor to me. You've helped me. And you're not going anywhere because I'll be calling you constantly. You are such a wealth of information. And I know her and I have not always agreed. That's how I got on this board, is I was not, her and I were not on the same page. But you know what? It was crazy. It shows how you can totally disagree with someone and still come out and work together day in and day out. And boy, have we moved mountains. And thank you, because we would have never moved mountains without, none of this would be here today without her. I mean, it's truly, it was a partnership, but you were definitely the driving force up at the front. You were the horse pulling everybody behind you, and it is amazing. I know you've taken a lot of wind. You've had your fanny out there, as we would say a lot of times, and you've gotten spanked quite a bit. And you know, I personally appreciate it tons. You've taught me so much over the years, and I know you're going to still keep teaching me, because you're not going anywhere. So I really appreciate everything you've done for me personally and for just this whole community. It's been amazing.
Michelle, there were a lot of us. It was a partnership, and I do want to mention the Biagini family. Karen and Johnny and Ed and Harold were amazing in the beginning process, and they have to be held up. It was absolutely the brainchild of Johnny and Ed, and you know, so you know, we all carry the torch for them.
Yeah, and then one last thing for a board announcement. Todd, as you'll notice, and I forgot to announce this at the beginning, did resign. So we are now short two spots. We have a citizen at large spot, and Todd's spot was a hotelier spot, Sam?
Correct.
Okay. With preference to a 50 and under? Or did we get rid of that?
We didn't. So we'll seek that. And if no one applies in that regard, we have the ability to
pull from
appoint
outside.
Someone else. Correct.
So will we be putting that out?
I will look into that from the clerk's office and let you know where we're going with that.
It would just be nice to get a board. Charlie Yates will be coming and taking Joan's spot next month,
correct,
to my understanding. So we will still have a board, but we're basically too short. So I encourage anybody out there in the public, come join the board. Now we got the city to as a partner, and you know, we've got a lot of things ahead of us and a lot of transitioning going on. So it'd be nice to kind of get a full board. So we're guaranteed we're not going to have to work as hard. Sam's going to have to take a lot more on. So hopefully it won't be as painstaking as everyone thinks. It's really not. We have a lot of fun on this board. So I kind of encourage anybody to come in and apply. And then to be determined, we'll see you next month, everybody. Second Thursday of February. Oh, and future agenda items. Thank you. For a future agenda item, I'd like to put the transition of the city and the bureau on the next meeting. I'd like to also get a follow-up on the tourism marketing district, the county. We haven't really heard from them in a few months, I feel like. And maybe that's a T-bid, but we'll talk about that transition. Taylor just brought up trees, lighting the trees as a future agenda item, and the maritime
It's a San Salvador project for the Maritime Museum. I was asked to talk about that.
Thank you, Taylor. So those are some future agenda items. Does anybody else have any future agenda items? Aaron? Joan? You can still put them on there. I have nothing else. So thank you, public, and we will see everybody next month. Oh, we don't have to make a motion to adjourn. It is 12:28 to be exact, and we are adjourned.
I like hot sauce. Thank you, guys. I'll see you later. I'll talk to you later. Yes, we will talk, sir.
I forwarded it to you.
You're right, I do think. You guys take all that stuff.